Hey, good evening, everybody. It's the Tri-State Sports Guys coming to you live from beautiful, sunny Norwalk, Connecticut, Ferry Avenue Bar and Grill. I'm Mike DePalma. I got Neil Lynch next to me. I got Tony D behind the glass.
Yeah.
We got a great show for you today. We got, obviously, we're going to get to a lot of baseball stuff. We got some NFL draft stuff. We got a lot to get to, Neil. But one of the things, let me just start out with this. Can we talk a little bit about your blossoming comedy career?
I wouldn't call that after the last two performances.
Well, listen. Those mysteriously were not online.
Yeah.
This could not be found on Dailymotion.
I just got those videos today, both of them, and I'm not too excited to review them. So there might be some serious edits before I get those up.
Well, here's what I think about your career a lot, and I think it's going somewhere. And what I'm thinking is, I mean, all comedians, you know, they have like an end goal. You know, some guys want to be Jay Leno. They want to host a talk show. Some guys want to be Daniel Tosh. Like, what is Neil Lynch's – what's the right niche for you? Some people go into writing and then go right for Saturday Night Live. Some people do sketch comedy shows, Chappelle. I don't really think any of those are a fit for you. You're a sitcom guy, and you know you got the sitcom jawline. You got those deep-set eyes.
Yeah.
You're dashingly handsome.
Yeah, I've thought about surgery about that. But.
Can I talk to you about my pitch?
All right.
Hear me out now.
Now, you got the elevator pitch. You got 30 seconds.
I think – elevator pitch, 80th floor. Now listen, the title of the show is Single Neil. Okay? Now you have a sister who, Mike, she got knocked up or something out of wedlock. She's now a single mom. She got kicked out of her apartment. She's got to come live with Single Neil, successful Neil, in this like hipster uptown apartment. And it's her and like her 7-year-old son.
Yeah.
And so you were like a little bit of like Uncle Jesse.
Yeah.
Maybe get you a catchphrase like, have mercy or something. Something like that or something. Did I do that? Something. You need some sort of catch line. And then it's just like you getting into stuff.
Yeah.
Getting into issues. You got the sun. Maybe get a little racy.
Yeah.
Because your comedy is a little blue. It's a little too blue for my liking.
It's deep blue. Yeah.
See, you ain't going on Leno with that.
Midnight blue. Yeah.
But, I mean, can you see yourself in that?
I was
bringing ladies back. You got to tiptoe around because your nephew's up, like watching.
TV. And then the girls like bond with the 7-year-old, and I'm left with myself.
And you're doing dishes in the.
I don't know who would pick that up, but we'll pitch.
I mean, I think it's a slam dunk, dude.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of contacts in the industry, as you know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start shopping that. I'm going right to Weinstein and just going, look, maybe make it into a feature film.
Harvey, I mean, we got a book coming out.
Harvey. I don't know if you've seen us on Daily Motion. We do host the most successful podcast in Norwalk, Connecticut. I just want to tell you, I got a guy. He's a lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
And he needs to get out there.
And he's a ticking time bomb.
Yeah. And then like
his time on this earth is limited.
Yeah, I mean, we got a window like a
Chris Farley type window.
Yeah, we got a John Belushi type window for this cat. I mean, he's a shooting star here. We're not looking for a major commitment. 3 years, top. You're the honeymooners. You're gonna be, you know what I mean? Just get enough to get the syndication.
Just get that Chappelle money and then get out.
Get out and go do some tours. We're gonna get to a lot today. We are a very eclectic show, as you know. We do a lot of major sports, but we've also dabbled. We had Nick Mason on talking some car racing.
Yeah,
we've had Leaping Lanny Poffo, aka the Genius, on talking a little old school WWF.
That was nice. I like
which
that.
Was beautiful. We've had the Crushing Russian of female MMA fame.
We got to get her to go up against Ronda. Yeah,
no way. Can we talk about Ronda Rousey?
She wants to live for tomorrow.
Well, just wants to have two functioning arms. That arm bar, dude, is a wrap.
Yeah,
that girl, she's fought 7 professional fights. 7 of them ended in the first round, all armbar.
How about her? I think the more impressive thing was her dealing with the chick on, I forgot who she was fighting, on her back. Choking her out, trying to get the naked choke on her for a good 30 seconds.
She's like, yeah, whatever. And she said, do you hear what she said about what all she was thinking about and the after thing? All I was thinking was my bra was falling down. That's what she was saying. She was not thinking I might get knocked out. I might have to tap out here. No, all she was thinking was, great, my bar's coming down in the biggest fight of my life.
I will say, I'm going to need to see her knock somebody out at some point. The armbar stuff, I don't really know.
No, 7-0 first round armbar. Is it good enough? This guy has to knock people out.
I'm gonna need somebody like stand toe to toe with her and see if she can take some shots.
I just don't get, and I don't know anything about fighting, but I just don't get how you know she's going for the armbar. Like you gotta just know, just not be in a position. Yeah. Like that's how she's gonna win, dude. I saw a thing on what's that show on HBO. Brian Gumbel show, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Did you see the thing about it? Real Sports. Who and it's. sometimes it's good. They have good segments. I just can't stand Brian Gumbel. But they had a thing with her, and she was, you know, her mom was like a judo extraordinaire or whatever. And Ronda Rousey
was a medal or something like that.
Yeah, so does Ronda Rousey. Was got a bronze medal in the 2008 Olympics in judo. So it went into all that. But what I'm getting at here is we are a very eclectic show. We've done a lot of not, you know, major sports talk. And so today, you know what we're getting into?
Can I take a guess?
Take a random guess of some other form of athleticism that we haven't touched upon yet, that we're going to get into off the show.
Something that maybe men don't normally do,
but
it's usually like, reserved for, like, women, but, you know, maybe men are starting to get into it.
Yeah. What do you think? Random guess.
Broga.
Broga is. Ding, 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 ding. We're going to dabble into yoga today, specifically men's yoga, and who we have on the line to start off the show. Now, I'm going to tell you that the guy who's coming on, I've known for close to 15 years. Great guy. But when I found out that he started his own yoga mat company, it was kind of surreal. I'm like, is this happening? Like, this guy. And then you look, and he's got pub in the Daily News. He's got pub in the San Francisco Gate. I mean, and he's, you know, he's got a Facebook page with 11,000 likes. We're over here rubbing two sticks together to get 500. And he's doing some things. So on the line now, we have Jahan Jamali, president and founder of Yoga Jack, Inc. Jahan, are you with us, brother?
I am, and I think the only thing that would cap off the pilot season of Single Neil would be if he were to walk around carrying a Yoga Jack on his back.
Product placement, my dude. That's what it's all about nowadays.
Not a sponsor.
How are you doing, guys? Thanks for having me on the show.
I am so excited for you, man. I've been following it ever since I found out this thing was going on. It's just amazing. It's like surreal. Seeing your quote in the Daily News, man, I'm like, I know this guy. It's awesome. So take us through the genesis of this company. I mean, how did you decide? You and I know Mike Foster, who's another friend of ours, is involved. How did you guys decide, yeah, we're going to drop what we're doing and start a yoga mat for men company?
Oh, I wish I could say it was that immediate, but you know, like everything, like life, right? It's like a journey. It's a path. These things sort of get revealed to you. And for those of you and your listeners that obviously don't know me, I do not fit the typical typical.
I think we might have lost Jahan there. You all right?
You clearly don't have Verizon.
That's it. How many bars you got there, Jahan? I think we might have lost Jahan. We might have to pick him up in a little bit. But what are you saying?
I think he was in the middle of a downward doggy pose.
He was.
The thrusting dragon. Talk.
But I will tell you, so just so our listeners know about this guy, Jahan Jamali. So I went to college with him. I was very close friends with him. He was in the ROTC, buttoned up guy. He went and went into the Department of Defense for years.
DOD.
DOD. This guy is like no joke, like no nonsense dude. And so that's what I mean. It's surreal that I know a guy that owns a company like this, but to know Jahan Jamali coming out of the Department of Defense. So I filled in the story. Jahan, do we got you back on the phone?
We do. You can you can blame my counterpart for that one. But yeah, that's true, man. I don't fit that typical mold, but there was a lot of folks, especially the ones I worked with, that are on sort of that similar path. And, you know, I hit the corporate world like everybody else did. And it sort of hit me, you know, like a big brick wall. Life hits you, work, career, kids, all that stuff. I lost my basic physical capability. I got out of shape, got stressed. You hear about this yoga thing, and it's foreign to guys. Like, it's scary almost. Like, what are all these hippy dippy om chanting? It's and not only that, guess what, you're afraid to even try to touch your toes at times. You know how it is, Mike. Come on, how many old injuries you have
around certain people? Yeah, you got to watch out.
Yeah, around this group. But I can come within 6 inches of my toes right now. Not a chance.
So to make a long story short, I wanted to get into it and try it. And there's a lot of guys that are sort of in my position and know it's good for you long term, both for mind and body. But I couldn't find anything. And what I mean by that is I went to go look. Okay, well, I see everybody walking to the yoga studios, like a floral print mat. I got these thin, flimsy ergodynamics, fluorescent pink. I just couldn't find anything. I just wanted something simple, durable. I wanted good stuff. But at the same time, I saw some of the pretty brands. $100 for a yoga mat? That's nothing.
Yeah.
So we went out and we figured out, hey, look, Mike and I got together and we tried to figure out there's a growing trend for this, but why hasn't anybody been able to capture on it? we figured if we could blend product with, like, the appropriate messaging, just to the average guy, your average Joe, we might be able to strike a chord, and we have been overwhelmed with the response. So thank you to everybody, our fans that are listening, and we really hope to turn more folks on to this.
Yeah, I'll tell you, John, it is amazing, and I'd say the trend has been in the last couple years. I've seen it. You know, I always thought yoga was for women and for, like, you know, the hippie guys that do it in the park. But I still play hardball, and I have a couple guys in the league, especially some of the older guys, that do it, like, exclusively. They don't lift weights. They don't – this is what they do. And these guys are shredded. And I'm like, what are you talking about? How does stretching like this make you, you know, make you gain muscle and all this? And they're like, it's not just stretching. Like, you won't – you know, a lot of these guys do Bikram yoga. They're like, you couldn't do an hour of Bikram yoga. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, I'm telling you, you'll throw up. And I was like, what are you talking about? And these
yeah,
guys –
yeah, man, you work muscles that you don't even know.
Yeah, and you see, and then, you know, so I've thought about doing it a lot of times. I'm like, you know, maybe it is something I should be doing instead of trying to go to the gym and, you know, spending 30 minutes on the treadmill and doing my little circuit and all, trying to do this because it's something different, it's something your muscles haven't done before. And then you come to find out a lot of professional athletes do it, especially the Bikram yoga.
Oh, yeah. You know, let me tell you this. Here's a guy you don't associate with yoga. How about Diamond Dallas Page? He's got his own yoga workout routine.
Oh, he's the one. Is he the one that has that video? There's a video on the YouTube somewhere with there's like a guy who was almost like paralyzed. He was like an ex-paratrooper.
Yeah.
He's
a former WWE guy. And the funny thing is that, so, you know, with the wonders of social media, you can start to get an understanding of who. And as you said, we have a lot of likes. We've got a lot of fans out there, thankfully. But you get to know your fans, and some assumptions that you had going in don't necessarily ring true. I have, as an example, a noticeable contingent of middle tier professional wrestlers that are on some of these entry level leagues and mid tier leagues and wrestling associations that are following Yoga Jack. It's unbelievable. Like, I didn't realize that the dude in the wrestling mask from like Boise, Idaho, really wanted a Yoga Jack to supplement his ring routine. Like, what do I say to that?
It's amazing. So tell the audience a little bit about what makes a men's yoga mat any different. I mean, I saw the article about, you know, just like, you know, you don't want one with flowers on it and all, but talk a little bit about what makes the yoga mat unique, that your product.
You know, we built it just, we made some real simple but very distinctive changes. We made it sized correctly. Most yoga mats out there are a little on the short end, so we wanted to make ours at least a full 6 feet. We gave it extra padding, so it's at least it's a quarter inch thick, and we made it a package. You can get a bag. It comes in one simple color, straight black. We have a very distinctive color mat. At the end of the day, it's going to last. It's going to be there. It's firm. It's support. It doesn't roll around, and it's something that, hey, for anyone out there that's walked into that first yoga class, or for anyone that's been in a yoga class, you kind of know who that guy is that's never been there before. They walk in, they don't feel confident with what's in their hand, never mind the practice that they're about to kind of embark on. We just wanted to tone all that down, make a product that's tailored both in dimensions and in messaging to the folks we're really trying to service. And that's just like guys like you and me that either have thought about it and have done it, or, hey, look, I can do this for life. And this is going to bring a little bit of balance, and it's going to improve my health and overall well-being. So let's give it a shot. We want to be sort of that bridge.
Yeah. Now, I think it's awesome because I have thought about it, and the fears that you're talking about are exactly the fears why I haven't done it. Because I know I'm going to walk in there, and there's going to be some guy who puts his leg behind his head, and I'm like, I can't touch my toes. So it is that, like, leap of faith where I'm going to walk into this class with my mesh shorts and my, you know, wife beater on, and
yeah,
I'm just sweating and throwing up and all, and it's like, you know, it's my biggest fear. So it's awesome. I mean, you have found, it seems so obvious now. You're like, yeah, there is a gap in the market for this, and that's what, you know, American Enterprise is all about, is finding a gap in the market that needs to be filled, and you guys are filling it, man. I'm telling you, this thing is going to blow up, John. This is awesome for you.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. We love our support, and we love our fans. We've had a good, dedicated crop of folks that have helped us from day one, so we certainly don't forget that.
Yeah, we actually, speaking of fans, we have some callers on the line here want to talk. I don't know if they want to talk to you, Jahan, or want to talk to me, but we got Saul out in Massachusetts on. Saul, you're on the air with us. What do you got for us, bud?
Hey, this is Saul. I'm a demolition contractor out of Lynn, Massachusetts. Jahan, how you doing?
Good, good, Saul. How are you? I actually, we fulfilled an order to Lynn, I don't know, probably about a week ago. I'm assuming that may have been you.
I got a comment on this here, Yoga Jack yoga mat. I bought one of these things to help with my flexibility. Damn thing's indestructible. We were demoing some roads off the highway in Medford. I tried to break the mat with jackhammer, and it broke jackhammer. In all seriousness, I weigh 250 pounds, and I got into yoga to try to get my health a little bit better, something I could do while I'm watching SportsCenter. And I tell you what, this is a really good product, good padding, and I really wish you guys a lot of success with this. This is something that I couldn't find before I found Yoga Jack. Hey, thanks, Tri-State Sport, guys.
All right, well,
thanks so much.
We don't get a lot of calls from Massachusetts. We tend to bash the Massachusetts team, so it's always good. We embrace that. Probably excited about the Tom Brady extension, I'm sure. Saul up in Lynn, Massachusetts. But that's awesome, man.
That's great. That's just terrific. Hey, you know what? Good for Saul, and that's what we're reaching. It's, you know what, the average guy, your average Joe. And if we can promote this to, you know, like I said, Joe America, then everybody wins.
All right, so tell everybody out there how they could find the mat. What's it, GoYogaJack.com?
Yeah, exactly. You just got to go to GoYogaJack.com. There you can purchase our signature mat. And you can also purchase our bundle item, too, which is the Yoga Jack Kit. And it gives you everything you need to get started. Gives you your mat, gives you your carrying bag, as well as a strap, because, as we all know, we need a little help stretching at first. So we give you everything you need. GoYogaJack.com.
Jahan, we wish you the best of luck, brother. We're going to put that link up on our site. We'll send it out on Twitter and on Facebook and all. We'll wish you the best of luck, man. Make us proud. And don't forget about Tri-State Sports, guys, when you make it big. All right, brother?
Always keep you guys in the loop. Thanks so much, guys. Be good.
All right, thank you very much. That's Jahan Jamali, president and founder of Yoga Jack LLC or Inc. or whatever they are there. But they got a great product, Neil. You got to admit, that's pretty awesome. You know Jahan. I mean, that's cool, man. This guy's making it.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest worry is, like, the one reason that I would want to get into it is, you can probably guess from looking at me.
Yeah.
It's like, I've read articles that it's supposed to be good for your sex life.
Yeah.
You know.
But your ass it is. You have a couples retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hidden gem.
Yeah, and that scene from Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
Where Russell Brand is crushing it and Jason Segel's just trying to do the baby's pose.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And I like the idea of the product placement in Single Neil.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is coming together.
Like, that could be a whole episode. Maybe
it's just
trying to get into yoga.
Trying to figure it out. You know what I mean? And maybe secretly behind the scenes you're doing it. And by the end of the show, you only got 30 minutes, you figured it out.
Yeah.
You're in some sort of crane pose. And then you got to explain that to your little nephew who thinks.
And, like, I saved my nephew from, like, a manhole using my yoga skills or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to be in that show somehow. I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe the guy is, like, walks across with, like, a...
You just plate. Shake your head. You're just in the background shaking your head the entire time.
It's Silent Mike in the back. That's all he does is shake his head. Disapproving Mike in the background. But that's cool, man. So check him out, please. Go yogajack.com. Great people. And I'm telling you, that is such a little niche in the market. You know guys now that are doing yoga. I know guys I went to high school that are doing yoga. Guys I play baseball with, like I said, and they're doing it, man. And it's like... I didn't know. I don't know what makes a good yoga mat, but like Saul from Lynn said, it's indestructible.
Indestructible. Took a jackhammer.
Jackhammer. Drop the R to these folks up in Mass. That might be our first Massachusetts caller, so I'm very excited about
and
that.
And I've been to Lynn. There's a bunch of inflexible bastards up there.
Yeah,
so.
I'll tell you. You go to most places in Massachusetts. I don't think there's a lot of toe-touching going on in Mass, but that's just me talking. I'm just spitballing here. All
maybe
right,
at Harvard.
That's right. They're not marketing to the Harvard folks.
Yeah.
They're marketing to the Mass holes.
To the guys who are getting into wrestling.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into some sports talk. We're going to start with the New York Yankees.
All right.
Great.
We'll start with the Yankees. I'm sure Tony T is excited here. Obviously, the story of what's going on right now is Granderson hit by a pitch, the JAA half fastball to the forearm, wrist, finger area, whatever he is. Broke
he pulled a Neil Lynch. What did I tell you 2 weeks ago? I did that to
Milo.
To Milo.
Who's a Hall of Fame Johns Hopkins.
Yeah, he bounced back.
He bounced back. Right. Come on, Grandy, man. But the thing that surprises me about this all now is it doesn't really surprise me. It's just what's almost like laughable is the callers calling into the fan with all these things they have to do now. And the names that are coming up, and the name that comes up the most is Johnny Damon. Why would you want to bring back Johnny Damon? First of all, that lineup is super left-handed loaded anyway. Their outfield right now, with Granderson in the lineup, they're all left-handed.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Gardner, Ichiro, and Granderson. You're going to then replace him with another left-handed bat, which eventually Granderson's going to come back. And what do you have with Johnny Damon? He's strictly a left fielder who's got declining skills and can't find a job. You're going to bring in Johnny Damon?
Yeah. Can't steal that many bases. Even in that stadium, I don't think he's hitting a lot of home runs.
Oh, yeah.
I think the other name you threw around was Soriano.
Yeah. Which could make sense because he's a right-handed bat.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, he'll give you 35 home runs if you give him.
Yeah.
He gave you 30-plus last year in Chicago.
Right.
The problem with that is, you know, what are you going to do with him when Grandy comes back? I mean, you can't make I don't think you need to give up much to get Soriano, and the Cubs are talking about eating a lot of his contract. You know, they're kind of shopping him around there. But he's still owed a lot of money. He signed for 2 years, so you got him. And what are they going to do with Soriano for 2 years? Granted, he can give you production, but he would then have to slide over to the DH, which then makes Nunez, we're going to get at-bats for him. And I think you could tell by what they're doing with him with Nunez in spring training. I mean, he's getting all the time at shortstop with Jeter out. I think they really – and I'm surprised that Nunez is not the guy who's going to play left field for them while he's out. Get him as at-bat.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of rotation. There's going to be a lot of rotation.
I think there should be.
You're not going to see – it's not going to be your – here's your set nine for the rest of the year. I think it's going to be a lot of –
Well, they're going to give Jeter a blow at shortstop a lot. I think Jeter will play shortstop maybe 110, 120 games, DH a lot, and you're going to get Nunez in there to play shortstop because he's only taking reps. They're not even putting him in left field, which I don't get. I know they said that part of the reason – they think that he's having problems in the field.
Well, they saw what happened with the Mets last year, trying to stick infielders out in the outfield.
Yeah, well, they've done that for a while. Daniel Murphy, let's not forget, made a joke of himself on opening day a few years ago. But maybe they know something we don't know, and they've seen him in practice, and this guy can't catch a fly ball. But my thing with Nunez is
we have a guy starting who can't catch a fly ball.
We probably will have a couple. I mean, let's be honest here. We're going to probably have Valdespin and Duda out there at some points at the same time. But I just don't know where you project Nunez to be. Everybody that's watched the Yankees knows that this guy is not going to be an everyday reliable shortstop, right? So are you thinking that he's going to be the heir apparent at third base at some point? Well, what are you going to do with A? I mean, there's no way out of the A-Rod thing, and we've talked at length about what they should do, but it doesn't look like they're trying to move him. So what are you going
to
do?
No, they would I mean, you don't think they'll move A-Rod to DH?
And just let him DH full-time and let Nooney play third? I mean, maybe. I just think that this is the opportunity. I think that Nunez could be a productive hitter in the major leagues. I said it a couple weeks ago. You weren't here, but I said he should be the starting everyday DH. And this whole platoon thing with Pronk, where Pronk's going to get most of the starts because he's going to play against all righties, I just don't like that. I mean, you got to see what this Nunez guy could do. He's put up numbers offensively when he's gotten chances. Let this guy just DH when he can and spot start in the infield because that's all he's going to be. He's not going to be your everyday shortstop taking over for Derek Jeter. It's not going to happen. So why dance around that?
You know, and I'm also a big fan of just experimenting in the first month.
Yeah, it gives you the opportunity to spend the first 6 weeks.
I don't see it. I can't see one person costing you that many games in the first month that you can't bounce back from.
Well, exactly. And, I mean, even if you're, you know, if you could – you know, the goal seems to be hover around 500 until Grandy comes back. And even if you're five games under 500, clearly that's not something that's insurmountable for the Yankees. I don't think that that's their biggest problem. That being said, the Granderson injury is huge. What there looks like they're going to be doing is some sort of combination of Matt Diaz and Juan Rivera. Now, I actually think the Matt Diaz signing is pretty good. I think that guy could be a productive fourth outfielder type guy. They're going to be playing a lot of interleague games. He's got success pinch hitting when he was in Atlanta, which you need to have now. American League teams really need to think about that, having a guy who can come off the bench, because a lot of DHs doesn't translate over to being a good pinch hitter. I think the Diaz signing is pretty good. I mean, he had some productive years when he's gotten time, you know, seasons he's hit over 300 and all that. So I think he could be productive, but he's not going to be a guy you want to slot out there for the first 6 weeks and have him playing every day left field. He's a liability in the field, And, you know, he's 34, 35 years old. So,
yeah.
But that, and Juan Rivera, I would think, is even older. I mean, Juan Rivera is older and trying to find a home. You know, he had some success in Anaheim a few years ago. But since then, you know, I think he's in L.A. with the Dodgers last year, I believe. Kind of bounced around, never really been a starter full time. So that's why I don't really get the idea that they're not going to put Nunez out there. But that being said, they can't go out and make a trade for a guy to stopgap for 6 weeks. That's just silly.
Yeah.
Especially adding a guy like Soriano, where even if they're eating contract, you're still going to have him for 2 years. Like, there's no way around that. So it's like, you know, I don't know. I think that's just like, you know, the Yankee fans talking. But I don't know that, you know, you got to just tread water till Granny comes back.
It's a question of defensive production or not, you know, whatever. It's offensive production. The main criticism of Granderson last year was he strikes out too much.
Yeah, he hit 230, but he hit 43 home runs.
Right. So, you know, who's to say that you can't get a guy that maybe gets on base more, but, you know, doesn't have the slugging percentage that he had. So,
yeah. I just
feel like the Yankees have bigger fish to fry. I know that sounds weird, but.
What also surprises me in a lot of these calls, what dovetails on these calls about what they need to do in left field is, it seems to be universal, and I'll get Tony's opinion on this as a Yankee fan. Yankee fans are very happy with their rotation, and I think the rotation is a liability. People are like, "Oh, we got a good, solid rotation," and they're throwing out the numbers that, you know, Pettit and Kuroda put up last year. And you know, Kuroda and Pettit are old, and are they, how many starts are you going to get out of them? And then you got Phil Hughes, who's starting the year out with a little injury here. He's, you know, had that great 18-6 season, but even that season he got a ton of run support. He's not going to get that. And then, you know, you got Nova, who just fell off the face of the earth at the end of last season. I don't know that you – I mean, I think that's a big liability for them. They're starting – I think their bullpen is still very good, but I think their starting rotation is a liability. To me, that's their biggest issue, is their starting rotation.
I think it's offense. Bar none, yeah. They're just not going to get the production they need to win ballgames. And that, maybe that goes part and parcel with, you know, the pitching and saying that, you know, the pitching is not going to be good enough to hold them mm-hmm. the games where they can win with that limited, you know,
yeah.
offensive output. But I honestly think that it's just not going to be – they're not going to get the kind of run support they need to win games.
Hughes isn't going to be ready for a start of the season, more
yeah.
likely.
So now you get Phil Hughes starting out, you know, and you don't normally need a fifth starter in the majors for the first 3 or 4 weeks or so. But still, that's just not what you want to get going. You see it time and time again, guys – who don't get time in preseason, and then, you know, they're injured during spring training. They get a spot start here or there, and they start out at extended spring training, and those guys don't tend to work out. You know, it takes a while to get going. These guys, especially pitchers, are just creatures of habit and repetition, and to have them, you know, not be ready for the opening day, I mean, that's going to be tough, man. That's going to be tough to bounce back from, but, you know, the Yankees are going to be a team you know, we talked about it last week, 86.5 wins. That's the lowest I can remember Vegas having them at for an over-under in a long, long time. And I took the under. I think this is the beginning of the end. We've talked about it for weeks.
Yeah, I think I had them an under as well.
Yeah, it's just I think it's going that direction for the Yankees now.
And they got the Cano situation, too.
Yeah, you got the Cano, you know, on a walk year here. He was on with Francesa today, actually, would not talk at all about the contract. There's no way he's not going to hit the free agent market. And if they're serious about this, you know, $189 million number, luxury tech number they want to stay under, somebody's going to pay him. I mean, he's going to get a 10-year, $180 million, $200 million contract. That's just going to happen with Robinson Cano. He's that good. And if the Yankees really are serious about staying in that number, how are they going to afford him? And it's crazy to say, but you're going to find out, you know, whether they're serious about that. I don't think they're serious. They have a season where they go out and win 83, 84 games this year. And, you know, now Robinson Cano puts up a solid season, which he always does. They're going to tell their fans no because we don't want to pay a luxury tax.
Right.
Yet they're making $1 billion a year off yes and all that.
Yeah, and not to mention you have all the other players are going to be another year older that are probably closer to retirement or getting cut or not performing like they used to.
Yeah.
I mean, guys like Uke and Jeter and Teixeira on the decline, like,
yeah.
I don't know if you're a Yankees fan that you're that optimistic. I don't hear very much about the prospects for the New York Yankees. I mean, we talk about Nunez or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, if the St. Louis Cardinals, that just came out with a report, said that they have the most prospects out there. You know, I just don't hear much about the Yankees.
No.
And it's always been with the Yankees, oh, well, we'll have the one or two prospects that come out that we're proud of, and then the rest will just fill in with free agent signings. And I don't know that they can get away with that anymore.
Yeah, the one position they seem to be high on, well, I mean, if you think about last year, all they talked about was Banuelos and Betances, the two pitchers they had in the minors. Well, you know, one of them was out all last year. The other one was rocked around. They're almost like not even discussed anymore. And then, you know, the catchers, Austin Romine, we've been hearing about for years and years, and then Gary Sanchez. And Gary Sanchez is like 19 years old. I mean, he's not close to being ready. So Yankee fans, it's like it's going to be – it's almost like a lot of the ones – the people that I talk to are realistic about their, you know, expectations for the season. But I'm just going by what you hear on the talk radio. People are just – they're like, oh, we got a great rotation. We got the best bullpen in baseball. We still got big boppers. Some guys are like, we're actually better suited for the playoffs this year because we got guys like Yuke and Ichiro that could, you know, you're talking about two guys that are in the down end of their career. You're going to be counting on them for big hits and big spots. I mean, Yuke showed nothing last year. So I don't know. I'll be curious to see. I could be 100% wrong, but I said it a month ago. I'm sticking with it. I mean, I think this is the beginning of a decline that they're not going to be able to get out of some of these contracts, and it's going to be tough. And it's going to be one of those places where now you have other teams spending big time money. They're not the big dogs anymore.
Right.
The big dogs are out in L.A. Both of them.
Yeah.
That are willing to spend whatever it takes.
That's why I almost see Cano landing with the Dodgers, if that's even possible.
Yeah. Well, I could see that for sure.
Yeah.
Because they don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that there's going to be teams out there. I could see, you know, Chicago Cubs, when they eventually get out from under this Soriano contract, even though, like, going into this off season, the Chicago Cubs start to say, okay, we got a couple little prospects. You know, we got Sterling Castro is great. We got Rizzo coming up. We got a couple pieces. We got Garza. Samardzija looks pretty good. Do we just say, all right, for this next year, we're going to bite the bullet with Soriano thing, keep Soriano, bring in Cano. You know, now all of a sudden you got Cano and Castro up the middle. Things, you know, there's going to be teams in the mix that, you know, aren't the teams you always thought about. So.
Yeah, I mean, to me, and I'm probably overstating it, but I see it almost feels like it's going to be a 5-year swoop for the Yankees where they're not exactly horrible, but they're not anywhere near playoff contention.
Yeah, no, I know. And then money doesn't, you know, everybody talks about the money they spend. A lot of teams spend a lot of money. They spend it wisely, but now these things are going to start biting them. So, all right, let's stick with baseball. Let's go out. What we want to do, we got 5 weeks until the start of baseball season. So we got six divisions. What we're going to do is every week we're going to take you around. Oh, they do have Dante Brissett Jr., who rakes in the minor leagues, and he's one of their top prospects. They do.
You know, there's like Flintstone vitamins.
Yeah.
There's like, I think there's Flintstone steroids out there somewhere that his dad handed down.
He said, all right, Dante Jr., let's do work, brother. So they do have Dante Brissett coming up as a third baseman and burgeoning third baseman. But what we want to do here, you know, over the next 5 weeks is we're going to take you through the league. We're going to head west to east. We did this a couple years ago. It worked out well. So we're going to go through each division once a week. Finishing with the East, we'll give you both National and the American League East to finish the Wednesday before opening day. But we're going to start out with the NL West. I'm going to walk you through, you know, not get into too much detail, but walk you through the teams in the league and what we think they've got going on. And you know, I think we have to start with the Dodgers. The other team everyone's talking about, that Pacoda projections or whatever that everybody goes by, has them running away with the division. I was watching something on MLB Network last night that projects them to win 94 games and win the league by, you know, 6-7 games, win the division by 6-7 games. And so you look at the acquisitions they made. They were a team, the over-under on them was 90, and I took the under on them. They got all the names you could list. I mean, we can go through their lineup. I mean, you know, they're going to have Hanley Ramirez. They're going to have Adrian Gonzalez. They're going to have Crawford in the league. You got, you know, their outfield is going to be Crawford, Ethier, and Kemp. You look at them and you say, man, they're great. Then you look at their rotation. They got Kershaw.
Now,
they got Greinke. Go ahead.
I mean, what about that outfield really instills you with confidence?
Kemp.
The dude who gets hurt all the time?
Well, when he got hurt last year, I don't think he's not like a history of getting hurt.
No, what I'm saying, this is where it starts.
Yeah. Well, look. I think that Kemp is the guy. I could see your point about him getting hurt. Kemp is the guy you have to look at and say, this guy is a full-out, five-tool, top-five outfielder in all of major leagues. And I don't think he's the guy. Of all the guys we're going to name, he's the guy out of all of them I would worry about the least.
Well, this is what my point is. Like, if Kemp's your guy and he's the one who's looks like he might be getting to some injury problems, and then you look at Ethier and Crawford, who both have had their own injury situations.
Yeah, and Ethier has regressed even when he's been healthy. I mean, he was another guy who was going to look like he was a 320 home run, 100 RBI guy, and he's kind of declined. I mean, he had a great start to the season 2 years ago before he got hurt. And, you know, their core was Kemp, Loney, and Ethier. Loney's obviously been shipped off, and, I don't know if he'll ever have an impactful role in the major leagues again. But, you look at Ethier, he's a solid player. Look, he'd be the best outfielder on the Mets.
Yeah.
There's nothing, no doubt about it. But it's not like they have an outfield like the Angels have, you know, or not like, have an outfield like Atlanta has.
I'm just saying it's a risky setup because it's not like you said the Angels. You know, you have three guys that have had their issues and that hey, if they're all healthy, hell yeah, I'm on that bandwagon.
Look at the Carl Crawford from 2010.
Yeah,
yeah, but I don't know that that's realistic Carl Crawford ever again. To be honest with you, I think there's gonna be times when he looks electric and his speed is electric and. He's hitting triples and doing all these things, stealing bases when he's healthy and all that, which is great. And I know his injury was to his arm, so you should say, well, his legs are still there. I get all that. But you got to think about this team. It's got a ton of question marks. You got to think about Adrian Gonzalez, signing the big contract and having the worst, season of his career. And you think about the times he was putting up huge numbers. He was out in San Diego, his hometown, where there's not a lot of pressure and all that, and he was great. And then he look at what he did in Boston, and he wasn't great. And then you came to L.A., and he was bad. I mean, he was not Adrian Gonzalez numbers. He was not a very productive offensive first baseman with the Dodgers. So, it's not like you could punch him in there as Adrian Gonzalez. Everybody thought he was going to be when he came over as, potentially a Joey Votto-type first baseman offensively. And, he still plays a good first base defensively. But then you have, guys like Hanley Ramirez who – 3-4 years ago, you could go through this whole team, and I'm gonna set Kemp aside, and I know you don't want to, but you could put this whole team with guys with question marks, other than Kemp and Kershaw, because you got Greinke, who's a head case, and I like the fact that he said he signed just for the money because he was being honest, and it is what it is. You got Billingsley, who had is having major injury problems, as great as he's been for them, but you're gonna count on him. You got Josh Beckett. I mean, you got a team full of head cases. This has got, and I don't think it's going to get as bad as it, but this has got Miami Marlins written all over it, dude. Although I don't think it's going to get that bad.
Right. Yeah. They'll compete and they'll be in it down the stretch. There's no question about that. I think, but it's an issue, and I put this in my summary when we're doing the over unders. It just seems like the Boston Red Sox situation all over again.
Yeah.
And you can point the finger at the manager all you want, but at the same time,
Bobby V is the athletic director at Sacred Heart University. That's not too big of a step down, being the
that's just weird.
That's just so weird. And the front page of the paper today at the Norwalk Hour here in Norwalk was he's ready for the challenge of being the athletic director of Sacred Heart University
and rededicating his life to God. Yeah, I mean that's if you consider God a step down, Mike, then you need to
they
check
produce
yourself.
A lot of women who like the party. I'll tell you that. So go get them, Bobby V.
Didn't your wife go to a Jesuit university?
She was straight on the straight and narrow. She went to two Jesuit universities. She went to Providence and Loyola. But yeah, they like the party. All right, so
she doubled down on the Jesuitism.
All about it. All about it. She's about it. But all right, so we have to talk with Josh. We'll do our predictions at the end of the segment here. But so we got the Dodgers, the Giants. They're another team that's like consistently. They've won two of the last three World Series. They continuously just seem to fly under the radar. I mean, they're a team now. I think they're predicted for 86.5 wins or something like that from Vegas, and nobody gives them any credit. And everybody always says, well, they don't have any offense, but their offense is not bad. I mean, they got Buster Posey, they got Kung Fu Panda, they got, Pagan obviously is going to give you what Pagan will give you.
They got Andres Torres back.
They do. They got Ator back. I mean, they got some players over there, you know what I mean? They got the Brandon Belt.
The creepiest player in all of Major League Baseball, Hunter Pence.
So they got Hunter Pence, who you hate.
I don't hate him. He just creeps me out.
You dislike him. Hate might be a strong word. You dislike him.
I don't.
That could be a running joke on Single Neil.
I don't want him near my fake children.
Just yeah, like maybe your nephew walks in with a Hunter Pence jersey and you just send him away.
I light him on fire.
Right you pick him up from school and he's wearing it and you just leave him at the bus stop.
Drive by.
You just drive by. He's sitting there.
Call me when you're ready to grow up.
Grow up. Hunter Pence is not worth $75 million. they're all excited about Sergio Romo being their closer, and Sergio Romo's numbers last year were ridiculous, but I like the Giants, man. I mean, they still got that rotation. I don't think Lincecum will be the Lincecum of his, you know, back-to-back Cy Young
Award,
but he's not going to be as bad as
He's going to bounce back, and that's why I think they're going to win
they're going to get to that, but they got Kane, they got Bumgarner, they got Vogelsong, They got arms out there.
I almost blew it right there. I'm known for being premature from time
almost
to time.
Said, you just said they're going to win. Don't say because you didn't say
what. Why
did
you say what they're going to win?
They're going to win.
They're going to win this next spring training game.
A spot on the Single Neil show.
Yeah.
So I like them. You know what I mean? They got Ryan. They got Marco Scudero back. You know, they got Crawford's a good defensive shortstop. It's like they're like a team from like the 80s. You know what I mean? That like they got a couple little boppers. They play good defense. Crawford's a, I don't know if he won the Gold Glove. That guy's Gold Glove quality shortstop, I think. You know, they got their guys out there. I mean, they're just going to be that team that just continues to fly under the radar. And, I'm not going to say they're going to win the World Series, and we'll give our predictions in a little while. But, that's just how I see them breaking down. I mean, Buster Posey's a franchise catcher. I'd take him over any catcher in the league, including Mauer or anybody. I don't know. I mean, that's just where I see the Giants. I mean, I'm sure they love the fact that they got a rabid fan base, and everybody thinks about San Francisco as this like fun loving hipster city and all that. But I mean, you saw how electric they were.
Yeah.
You go to a Yankee game and you could hear crickets. You go, you watch a game in the playoffs in San Francisco and it's electric. And I've been there. It's an awesome place to watch a game.
Yeah, no, they're diehard about it, no doubt.
Which is cool. All right, so what are your thoughts about the Arizona Diamondbacks? Obviously, they lost Upton.
Yeah.
Right. But they get back Prado, and you look at Prado, it's another one of those guys who just puts up numbers every season, plays all. It's almost like he's hurt by the fact that he's versatile because you're like, oh, you know, what is he, a third baseman? He's an outfielder. You know, he played some second base when he was younger. I think that, and not to say that trade is a wash, but, I mean, Martin Prado's a solid player.
Yeah.
I like Jason Kubel. Right? Paul Goldschmidt is a guy who was a rookie last year. He did play the year before, but his first full season.
A Mets killer, Cody Ross.
They do have Cody Ross. I mean, Goldschmidt had 22 home runs, 20 home runs, 80-something RBIs, batted almost close to 290. He's going to be good. And then you have Aaron Hill, who is just that enigma of the league. You know, he had a huge season in Toronto and then fell off, got the trade for Kelly Johnson, and then did well at the tail end of that season. And then last year had a huge season. You got Miguel Montero behind the plate. It's I'm getting texts about Paul Goldschmidt. Like Paul Goldschmidt. Immediately, somebody texted, Paul Goldschmidt. I guess he's going to go high in some fantasy drafts. We're going to get to fantasy in a little bit. But, this is another team. And then, their rotation. They've got, obviously, Kennedy. They've got the guy, what's his name? Miley.
Mm-hmm.
Good season. The rookie last year, 16 wins. He was very good. They got Putz at the back end. They got David Hernandez to throw the eighth.
They got Heath Bell coming out of the
Heath Bell. I mean, they got a solid bullpen. When you look at, you could talk about Heath Bell, how bad he was last year. You got a bullpen with Heath Bell, David Hernandez, and J.J. Putz at the back end. I mean, that's a very solid rotation. They got Cahill, and don't forget about McCarthy.
Yeah, and I was just about to say, the Mets were looking into trying to get McCarthy last year, and we were talking about him possibly going there, and, that is a solid bullpen. So, I mean, I don't see them, what's the line on them? Do you know the over-under on their wins for the season?
I don't remember. I think it was low 80s. I don't remember. We could look it up.
I could see them getting close to that.
Yeah, I could tell you, this team could compete.
And especially if the Dodgers have their woes, like whether it's just clubhouse chemistry or the injury situation, and the Giants just decide that they're going to coast because they're the Giants and they can.
Yeah.
Diamondbacks could be there to step in and make a run at the end of the season. So.
Yeah, I mean they're going to be an interesting team to watch, and fantasy wise in that ballpark, there's going to be some guys that put up some numbers, and we'll get to fantasy a little later on. Now moving over to Denver, you go to Colorado. Colorado's another team, fantasy-wise, they're going to have some guys that pull up some numbers. They got the catcher, Willian Rosario, who put up big-time numbers last year. They got Tulowitzki, if he could stay healthy. has been good. And what's crazy about Tulowitzki, another thing I heard a stat last night on MLB Network, think about how good he is. I think they said he only had one season in his seven seasons where he's hit 30 home runs. And you think of this guy as like a perennial 30 home run guy, but he never seems to stay healthy.
He's another one. He's like a Hunter Pence-esque guy for me.
You just like...
I don't like Troy.
Troy Tulowitzki.
He creeps me out. I put him in the Hunter Pence category. He's just a dude who has, like, he's just a weird, jangly kind of guy that I just can't get down with. I can't get comfortable around
him. Can't party with Troy T.
No. He's got to show me something special for me to, like, share a beer bong with him. I don't know.
I hear you. Well, all right. I love Troy Tulowitzki. But then you get you move over to the outfield. You know, they have a solid outfield. They obviously got Cargo, who's a stud. If he stays healthy, he's a stud. They got Dexter Fowler, who was a prospect for years and years. Finally, like, last year, looked like he was going to make a move and be a real player, and I think he will. He's still young. And they got Michael Kadire, who had a kind of a down year for Michael Kadire, but I think he's a solid guy. Again, any three of those guys would be light years ahead of anybody the Mets have. So, yeah, they have a solid outfield.
And then you have Mr. Mugshot.
You do have Todd Helton, who is the greatest mugshot in the world. You got Todd Helton there. My problem with
that. What was it? He drinks red wine out of igloo cups.
Igloo cups. Which
and I
look
say,
up.
If Colorado, Denver is a cool city. A lot of singles there. It's Mile High. People get
legal.
Mile High.
Yeah.
They got to have an igloo cup night at Coors Field.
If they don't, they're leaving money on the table.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now.
And you just got that idea for free.
That's just awesome.
That's a no charge.
That's just from comedians extraordinaire.
We just want to cut of the back end.
Just a little piece of the back end. That's it. We just want a piece of every solo cup you saw. I mean, but igloo cup.
Igloo cup.
Not solo cup. But the big problem, obviously, we don't have to talk about. Their starting rotation is atrocious. I mean, they got De La Rosa, who showed some potential before he got hurt. They got Chacin, again, a guy who looks like he could be a pitcher at times. You look at him, you know, they don't have a guy. Another thing I saw a stat on, they didn't have a guy. Jeff Francis, out of their starting rotation, had more innings than anybody else, and he had like 112 innings. So they got a starting rotation with a bunch of guys.
We're going to give our starters a good three innings.
I don't think they have to be creative like that.
That was like when we played like Montclair State, and they're like, all right, Neil, you're going to go around 2-3 innings,
yeah,
and then we're just going to throw out arms every inning.
That's it. Deuce,
everyone gets an inning.
Overstreet, you're up.
But
yeah.
Can you imagine the other team? Like, you can't get a read on the pitching because it's a different angle.
Different look.
Different junk.
That's how they got to go. I mean you know who's managing them this year? You know, it's Walt Weiss. Remember Walt Weiss?
Yeah.
Former Rookie of the Year, I think. I think he won a Rookie of the Year out in Oakland. But so Walt Weiss is in his last head coaching job before this?
Sacred Heart University.
He wishes. It was a high school team. He was the last time he was a head coach, he was a high school coach. And it just makes, that's a leap.
Yeah.
And there's guys that have been in the
minor
leagues.
He's like the LeBron James of baseball coaches.
I mean, there's guys that are just like laboring in the minor leagues, just like, you know, on buses for 30 years, just hoping. Terry Collins, like, guys, just hoping to get a crack. Walt Weiss is like, well, I did, you know, I got Norwalk High School. I had a couple players there. And now, imagine that interview. Well, I had a couple guys. I had a freshman that could throw. I got a nice, crafty lefty who can give me some innings. Yeah, so they got Walt Weiss out there. I mean, what's interesting about this team is they have a solid outfield. They got Troy Tulowitzki. They got a good young catcher. So they got pieces there, but they're so, like, it's almost like they just, well, like, you know, we play in Colorado. We don't care about pitching. It's like, what's their strategy there?
It is nuts to me. It is nuts that, but who knows? It might be the start of something crazy.
I mean, you look at it. You look at guys that are out there. You look at, like, we just talked about McCarthy. Like, why wouldn't the Rockies go out and sign McCarthy? Why wouldn't the Rockies go out and throw more money than the Mets did at Sean Markham? Like, why aren't they signing Kyle Loesch? Like, what are they thinking? Like, of those guys
they're saving up for Robinson Cano.
Like, no. Robinson Cano, and he'll come off the bump to close the game. He throws cheddar from down low, too. He throws cheddar from down about his waist side. But that's our Colorado Rockies. And then to end out, I mean, if we could fill 2 minutes talking about the San Diego Padres, I'll give you another beer. I don't know how to even.
Whoa. You're going to hear some serious in-depth analysis right here.
I'm going to tell you Yonder Alonso, Edison Velquez, and they got the guy, the second baseman, Yorko. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but he put up big numbers in the minor leagues last year, and he played third base in the minor leagues last year. This guy, Yorko, I think he could be a player. He's a guy, fantasy-wise, you might want to look at, but After that, they got your boy Chase Headley. That's actually O's boy, but go ahead. I'm going to go refresh our drinks. You give me 2 solid minutes of San Diego Padres talk, I'm going to go out and shop your show. I'm going to go out and find you a sitcom, a pilot.
Well, I mean, if you're looking for bright spots in living in San Diego, just go outside, right? It's like usually like 75, 85 degrees every day, so I don't think you need to worry about your baseball team. But at the same time, I think a lot of people are pissed. Phil Mickelson? Wow. Did he buy the team? No, he didn't get in on that, right? He's not an owner anymore?
Philly is leaving California altogether because he doesn't want to pay taxes. Fat Phil and his man boobs are like, we don't have the cost of bras nowadays. And anyway, California's putting sort of bra tax out there. Philly wants no part of Cali.
I think Phil needs to get involved in some broga.
Get some yoga jack.
But no, if you're a Pods fan, if you're looking to get involved with some baseball, you got to look at something like Cameron Maben. Here's a guy that everyone talks about every offseason as if he's going to be the next big guy. Like, he's this five-tool guy that has the speed, and he could have the power, leadoff guy, and he always seems to have really good games from time to time. And, like, I don't know, maybe this is the year that he breaks out. You know, maybe he discovered Broga over the offseason. He's, like, flexible. He's got the juices flowing. I also got a point to Mark Kotze. That's a name that I recognize. Other than that, yeah, I mean, just looking at the roster, going from head to toe, Jason Marquez on the roster, that's pretty cool. You know, that's an arm you can trust.
He's local. He's
yeah. But if I were to say, you know, the Padres are going to run away with this division, I don't know if they're going to run away with it. I think they're going to keep people interested, you know, for the ratings, and then they're going to bow out.
I'll tell you this. And it's a funny Family Guy thing, and it's making fun of the Mets. I'm sure you've seen it.
It's
the first pitch of the season, and the season's over. That is the San Diego Padres this year. I don't hear anything about it. I mean, when you have to look through their lineup and say, well, they got Jason Marquez and Ryan Kotze.
Houston Street.
I mean, that guy was a player. I mean, they got Clayton Richard. They had that guy Lupke, the pitcher, who had a good start to the season, but he had Tommy John. He's out until, I think, mid-May or June or so.
They got Todd Hundley's kid.
I got Nick Hundley, who's good. Yeah, because Yasmani Grandel, if you remember, he is their, like, stud prospect. Catcher came up, put up big numbers, and then, whoops, PEDs are illegal in this league? Oh, I'm sorry. And then he got named again in this last little thing with A-Rod.
You
got
to go with deer antlers, bro.
You got to, dude. The spray, they can't track it, my dude. But, yeah, they're going to have an uphill battle. And you want to talk about Cameron Maben, about a guy. Remember he came up, he was 20 years old, and they were all about him. This guy's a five-tool guy. He came up with Detroit, I think. Bounced from Detroit over to Miami, all these things. He's still young, right? How old is Cameron Maben? 25, 26 years old? But
he'll be.
I don't want to hear anything about Cameron Maben. He's a guy that every year at Fantasy Drafts, I think this is the year Cameron Maben really puts it all together.
Yeah.
Show me Cameron Maben when he puts it all together. Hey, he signed a big contract with him last year. I think he signed like a 4 or 5 year deal.
No, I know. And
you're like, all right.
He just has the look of a guy. He reminds me of Mike Cameron.
Yeah. You know? He does. Or like Ryan. Remember Ryan Thompson for the Mets?
Ryan Thompson just looked like a
guy.
He should be playing football, and he's just
this guy's a baseball player. Yeah. This guy. Oh wow, look at him. Look at his arms. He's got the muscles and all that.
Yeah.
Give me a fat guy you can rake any day of the week. All right. Well, let's get to it now. You've already jumped the gun. We know who you have. Winning the division.
I got the Padres.
I got the Braves. So you got the Giants winning the division.
Yeah.
You think
By a hair. It's going to be a tight three-way race, but I think that the Dodgers are going to just squeak by the D-backs. The D-bags, as I like to call them.
I would go as far as say this. I do have the Giants winning it again. I think the D-backs not only come in second, I think we get one of those wild card spots.
Wow, okay.
That's how much I like them.
Yeah.
And I think the Dodgers fall short. They're somewhere in the mid-80s. I think they're all kind of lumped together. I think you see...
Yeah.
You know, like, you can win the division with 89 wins. You'll see the second-place team right around there and the third-place team. And I agree with you. It's a three-way race there. And it could be – you can interchange any of those teams. But I think that the Dodgers fall short. I think Donnie Baseball will never manage again after this year.
Ooh.
Which kills the Yankee fans out there. But,
well, no, I heard Sacred Heart needs a hitting coach, so.
Well, they're putting together a hell of a program over there. It says Sacred Heart.
I got season tickets.
I can see if we could score some season tickets. I know a couple guys over at Sacred Heart. Actually, as an aside, my friend Dwayne Lofton, we talked about him when we had the guy from Connecticut Post down there. His son went up and played. He's actually looks like 90%. He got a nice scholarship offer. He's going to be playing football at Sacred Heart. So he's going to know Bobby V very well. They're going to know Devin Lofton.
Tony, where are you with the applause? Come on, sound effects.
I mean, when I want to see Bobby Valentine have a press conference to announce the signing of Devin Lofton to play some running back. Lofton, my man. My
Here's another side note. My sister applied there. Didn't go, but she applied.
Yeah.
There you go.
And that's all we got about Sacred Heart and the NL West. Well, we're gonna get to the NL West a little later on. We're going to give you our top 10 fantasy players in the National League West. And there are actually a lot of good fantasy players for a division that you think of as kind of a weak division. It was just a tough list for me to make.
It has mostly stunk. I mean, it's had a reputation for stinking.
But they won the World Series, though, man.
I mean, there was a season where there was a team that finished below 500 that almost made it to the playoffs.
Yeah, well, Listen, right on their parade, you know. They could do some things over there. If you do have any thoughts throughout as you're listening to the show, you can give us a call, 347-637-2306. Let's keep the ball rolling here. You want to do a little duty? You serious?
Yeah.
It's been a couple weeks without it.
I know.
And I don't know what to do without you. I'm lost without you. I don't know if you've listened to the show and you're not here. I'm lost without you.
I miss your musk. We should move in together?
I think we should. You should move in here. This is where we're going to – if we're going to get this pilot going,
yeah.
We need 24-hour access to Neil.
All right. I'm coming in hard and fast on this one.
All right. Go ahead.
A South Dakota lawmaker calls the MMA mixed martial arts –
I think it is pronounced South Dakota.
South Dakota? South Dakota?
That's how the dude from Lynn, Massachusetts –
Yeah.
Saul?
Saul. I think Saul is from South Dakota.
Yeah, I think he is. All right, what do you got?
A lawmaker from there, that state that no one's been to, calls MMA the child porn of sports. Your thoughts?
Stupid. It's an ignorant comment by an ignorant person from a state that probably should just merge with their neighbors to the north and we'll have 49 states.
Well, either he's never seen MMA or he's never seen child porn. One of the two.
Yeah. And
I'm going to go with MMA.
Yeah, I'm going to guess if you're going to make that comment, then I know what you haven't seen, my man, out in South Dakota. That's stupid. I mean, anybody, it is not this barbaric sport. When you watch it, the people that are going to try to watch that sport for this crazy knockout, we talked about it with Ronda Rousey. It's not that. You don't see those. You could go on YouTube and I'm sure find a highlight reel of some things, broken legs, this and that.
Yep.
The majority of this thing is grappling. You will see some things. It is not that kind of sport. And that's just stupid. Does that answer your question?
I just love your passion. I want to bottle it. And you know what? I say we sell that. And I say we outsell Broga Jack.
Yeah. Well, there's a niche in the market for passion.
Who wants bottled passion? So the Yankees are so evil. This is an actual headline from Deadspin. The Yankees are so evil, they sued for the exclusive right to call themselves evil.
Stop it.
Good for them.
Are you sure this isn't the Onion?
No. No,
this is Deadspin.
But the Yankees did call a 9-year-old actress a derogatory term associated with the...
with the Onion, right?
Yeah, but the Yankees also retweeted it, so they're just as guilty, so...
Yeah, they don't know up from down. All right, so what evil, in what regard?
So there's actual an Evil Enterprises, Inc., that are owners of a website with the URL baseballsevilempire.com, and they recently filed a trademark claim for the term... Baseball's Evil Empire, which was sniffed out and promptly disputed by the lawyers employed by Baseball's Evil Empire. Even though the Yankees would never use the term to promote their team, they need to own it because it exists.
Hey, am I going to question how the Yankees do business? Everyone at that company, including the woman who had sex with George Costanza, makes more money than I do. So I'm not questioning them. They want to trademark. Go ahead, dude. I mean, it's the time to trademark everything. You trademark that's a clown question, bro, in this country. You got to trademark evil. Evil's a pretty common term. It's used every day. Every time they're just going cha-ching.
But you think Belichick is silently cursing to himself right now?
What are they going to call me?
What are they going to call me now?
I have this evil cut sleeve hoodie.
Is this,
oh my gosh,
the best mugshot you've ever seen?
Yes. We've done, and both, I'll tell you, I'm going to give you one and two. Number one, the front shot. Number two, the profile. And number three, Todd Helton. Oh, who is this cat?
This is so originally the reporter who broke the story thought it was Dez Bryant, the wide receiver from the Cowboys. And it turns out it's Desmond Bryant, who's a defensive lineman.
Oh my god, that is great.
Yeah, and so anyone who can't see us, which I don't know how you can't see us through audio. Dude is straight, like, it looks like he's kind of gagging on his tongue a little bit, or like he's trying to make himself look more jacked and bigger. I mean, how would you describe that look?
Well, I'm going to tell you how I would describe this look. There is a third picture that goes in between this. The first picture is just before he throws up. The second picture is when he throws up.
He's like,
and then the third picture is when he's like, oh, God, that feels
so
good.
So glad I got that out.
I got those demons out. You know, you got the demons out of you.
But he manages to kind of pull his head back, I guess, so that he's scrunching. His neck is not straight.
But that's, see how it's like bowed out?
It's bowed out.
That's the vomit coming up.
Yeah. That's a lot of vomit.
Yeah, look how much. Yeah.
He swallowed a football.
that's how he's
Nerf football is coming
out of
his
mouth.
It's
like with my cats. I got a couple of cats. I love them to death. When they throw up, you're like, how did all of that come out of your stomach? How did all that come out? One of them threw up a bird. A full bird. This guy threw up a bird and or a football. Keep going. What do you got?
This is not sports related, but I could not bring this up.
Okay.
All right, Steven Tyler, lead singer Aerosmith and proud grandmother, spent $6 million on coke in the 70s and 80s.
And think about how much coke you could buy with $6 million in 1975.
Yeah, that's like all the coke in the world.
Yeah.
Yes. And it all went up his nose.
Yes.
And I'm sure a couple of
like
other
you've
friends.
Seen American Gangster, and that you think is all like, you know, with Denzel Washington, like all he needed was one client.
Jay-Z Washington.
Jay-Z Washington. You look at Denzel Washington, it's like, okay, yeah. He goes to the mafia, and he's like, well, I got this one client. I'm going to carry it over in coffins, and I'll just sell a coffin full of coke to Steven Tyler.
But I'm saying, like that, I've seen – you probably know a couple cokeheads.
Sure.
I know a couple cokeheads. I think Saul from Lynn might be a cokehead.
He might have dabbled.
I think Saul might have dabbled. He's got a little post-strip.
He's got the milk mustache.
Your nose falls off at some point.
And his did. Have you seen his nose?
Oh, that. Well, that means.
But I will tell you this, and I've never done coke. I don't do any drugs. But so it's not like I'm, endorsing any of it. But you look at this story. I mean, it's 35, almost 40 years ago. This guy's been doing coke. This guy's been doing coke for 40 plus years. He's still ticking and living large with a six pack. I mean, it's almost like God. It's like Reagan and
what
Nixon are like,
secret?
They're like spinning their graves, like, man, we thought there was a war, but these guys are living life, and they're both not around.
That's
anymore.
Why I'm still to this day really impressed with the Rolling Stones. Like, I'll come off a real bender of a weekend, and I'll be like, oh, my heart hurts. And then I'll think about Rolling Stones and, like, the mountain of heroin that they did before, you know, tanking.
Yeah. You know what I bet you he does?
Yoga.
Broga. I guarantee you he does yoga. Yeah. It overpowers anything. Any poison you put in your body can be eliminated by Yoga Jack. GoYogaJack.com. That's another plug.
So what's the deal with this eighth grader? Have you heard about this story?
The full scholarship? I mean, I heard he's a beast.
But
he got offers from LSU and Alabama.
Just like, you can do that, though? You can just approach an eighth grader and be like, yo.
It's not binding. And you can
screw high school, dude.
Can you imagine being his ninth grade English teacher?
First of all, is this him? That's him in eighth grade?
Yeah, oh yeah, he's supposedly a beast. I mean, who knows how tall those lockers are?
Did you see any videos of him? Oh, there's one video of him on defense. This kid comes over and trying to block him, and he just like hits him with a stiff arm. The kid goes 20 yards backwards.
Is this one of those like foreign country situations where the birth certificates aren't mandatory?
Yeah, this is Danny Almonte written all over it. But I will tell you this though, all three of us here knew the kid growing up who was so much better than everybody else because they were bigger than everybody else. That's why I don't get this story. Basketball, like that kid, that 11-year-old that plays with men and all that, and granted, they're not playing a lot of defense, but he looks like amazing. Like, all right, this kid is a player. I mean, you can't do those kind of things. But football is a sport of brute strength a lot of times and being super athletic. And you look at a guy like this, I mean, I remember so distinctly, and I don't say I'll even talk about him on air here, Jason Petrie from Wilton, Connecticut. This guy used to have to his father used to bring his birth certificates to Babe Ruth games. He was 13 years old. He had a beard. And he threw 83, 84 miles an hour when he was 13. He threw so hard, like he gave up like 10 hits in a season. He went to Wilton High, whatever. And then his senior year, he was a year older than us. By his senior year, we beat him 5-4 in a game. He wound up going to Villanova and playing one season of baseball. Like he was just so much bigger than everybody. Yeah. That he just did that, and I'm sure it's the same thing about football. I mean, I didn't play peewee football, Tone, but I'm sure you could name a kid who was a beast in peewee football.
Oh, absolutely.
Or Pop Warner football that was just a beast, and he was, you know, even though there's weight classes and all that, there's that one guy who got, you know, hit puberty early and all that.
There was a couple.
Football is not a sport you could do that. No. Basketball almost is, because you see a dude that's like, if you see a kid in the eighth grade and he's 6'6", And he's athletic, like, you know, and you're like, oh, he's not even awkward. He's going to grow into his body. Okay, give me that.
Yeah.
You give me a guy like you see O.J. Mayo or LeBron James when they're ninth grade and they're dominating. Okay, you can know that that's going to translate.
Yep.
But football's not that sport. That's why I don't get that story. What do you think, Neil? I mean, what kind of prodigy were you at eighth grade?
I didn't fully sprout into the specimen you see today until at least, like, last year.
Until
I'm a late bloomer.
Once we found
I'm
out.
I'm still blooming.
That
I'm
the
blooming
Mayan
right now.
Thing was a myth.
Yeah.
I kind of really got my voice.
That's when I let everything drop. And I was like, all right.
If you listen to when your first show on when you came on board and replaced Zoe, you're like, hey guys, it's Neil Williams.
Wow.
Well, hey.
I'm on. Yeah, great. Yeah, we got a car show going on.
A car show. I don't know what that means, but what else you got?
I like cars. I like race cars. I like when I pull them backwards and they go really fast going
vroom,
forward.
Vroom, vroom, hot wheel.
I got a loop-de-loop, double loop.
Do we even talk about sports anymore? Or we don't.
Yeah, nah.
We don't do much of that.
All right, we're the Tri-State Eclectic guys.
We did touch on some yoga
Tri-State
earlier.
Tri-State Brogues. So there
Fourth
are a couple
eclectic references.
So the combine is getting big now.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was really into it 2 years ago. I watched a little bit of last year. I didn't catch a lot this year. I know that my roommate was really into the bench press section that they don't really show too much.
Yeah, which I don't get, because that's cool. I like watching.
I like the bench press. Yeah, I'm always
because that old guy that
old guy.
Him, he's just like, ugh. 22. Yeah, I only got 22.
But I'm
like, he's all angry.
But I'm also worried about him because like he's spotting, and I feel like he's not gonna get that.
I do too. But then when he does spot, he just like, throws it up like, ugh. He's so angry. No matter what, this guy got 36 official. I'm gonna give him 35. And that last one in his chest.
And by the way, when you learn bench press, they tell you don't bounce the bar.
Oh,
all those dudes are bouncing
the bar. They
have
to. Yeah.
So that's not official, right? They take that away, right? They should.
Well, they don't, though. Yeah, they start. You bounce it off the chest. But yeah, all right. So what are we talking about? You just don't like the
No. I'm saying. Well, there were a couple good storylines from there, and I thought I would.
A couple guys falling on their face.
There were two good quotes that I pulled. One was Mike Mayock on Johnny Football. Johnny Football is like a good deodorant. And I'm sure Johnny Football will now take that, trademark the deodorant, and come out with it, and we'll all be wearing it next year.
All deodorant now is Johnny Football. Like he gets everyone. Right guard, Old Spice. And what else you got?
And then Warren Sapp came with... Warren Sapp will draft you if you, quote-unquote, jump off the screen like a turd in a punch bowl. I need more of that. See, I know you guys are shaking your head like, no, come on. I want more of that in my life.
Of course I do. Because
yeah.
That means that Warren Sapp has either seen a turd in a punch bowl or has actually pooped in a turd in a punch bowl. Which I could see him pooping in a punch bowl.
Oh,
you know what? I watched a bunch of it. The other night my daughter wouldn't go to sleep, so I'm watching it late night. It was like 12 o'clock. I'm watching it. And it was obviously the replay of it. And he's talking. They're talking about the bench press. And I'm thinking all the time, I'm like, you know, these guys are just lazy. You see linebackers come out there and put up 16 or 17. I'm by no means like a big guy. The most, but I have done, because we all tried to do it in college, 14 reps at 225. So for a D1 linebacker trying to get in the NFL to put up 16 times, you're like, that's just being lazy. That means you're not working out. I don't care what it is. But you know what Warren Sapp, what his bench press was at the combine?
What?
16. He goes, I only did it 16 times.
He's just a.
And he goes, and some guy in his draft class did it 43 times. And he said some name, and they're like, who? And he goes, exactly.
Yeah.
He was like, exactly. Put him on tape. But I'm like,
he was just
amazing.
Warren Sapp was just like a quick, fat dude. And I think that's what threw people off, was that you see him waddle out, and he's got a gut, and you're like, this guy's a joke. And then he just goes around you.
What I will tell you about Warren Sapp, and I remember from college, when I was in high school, and he there was down at the Garden, there was a Walter Camp All-American basketball game. So it was the All-American football players played in a charity basketball game. And Warren Sapp was on the team, and he dunked in the game. Took a steal coast-to-coast and dunked. And I remember seeing this guy. And I'm, you know, like probably in the 11th grade or whatever I was in. And I'm like, man, I'm pretty athletic. I can't even hardly touch the rim. This big fat guy got up and dunked in a game situation. So that's how kind of freak athlete Warren Sapp is. The guy's 300 pounds. He's getting up and he's probably only 6'1 or 6'2. He's our height.
Yeah.
Boofing in the middle of a game. That is just a freak athlete.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame. I love Warren Sapp. I love every time he's on the television. And did you know another fact about him? He was to intentionally, for the weekend of a game, this is coming from Boomer Esiason, not brush his teeth at all.
Ugh.
So that his breath would be so bad, at the end of a huddle, he would just breathe on you. So you didn't want to be near him. That's a fact. They said that Warren Sapp's breath was like legendary.
Ugh.
That's the kind of psychological stuff. That's what kept us out of the NFL.
Wait, time out.
I was not willing to make that commitment.
Time out. I was talking to my roommate about Mark Schlereth.
Mm-hmm. Stink.
You know why they call him Stink? He apparently used to piss his pants in the huddle.
That's what they did.
Like second quarter, first quarter, like real early in the game.
Save it up.
And so people would be like, you know, you imagine going toe to toe, head to head with that guy for 60 minutes, knowing he just pissed his pants.
Just fresh, warm pants.
So I want to see head up, straight up, Oklahoma style, Schlereth versus Sapp, who can outstink each other.
Yeah, and just have some regular Joe off the street who could last longer.
Yeah.
Just give it like, all right, get your face right on your scratch.
Jews versus pros.
So, on a yoga jack mat.
Yeah. And, well, I'll just leave you with this really quick. Manti Te'o, 4.8, 40-yard dash, didn't even compete in the bench press. Everyone was impressed with his press conference. But the thing that was circulating is that teams were asking him if he's gay.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you this. That's blatantly illegal to do that.
That is way illegal.
Blatantly illegal.
Yeah.
Because that is, and we were talking about this on the Michael Kay show tonight as I'm driving home. And they were debating it, and Don LaGreca was like, no, this isn't like a regular job interview, but this is a job interview. You cannot say, because you're
basing, the NFL Network advertises it as this is the job interview.
You cannot ask somebody. They ask them, are you married? Are you single? Do you like girls?
Yeah.
Good for them.
Coach. You cannot ask somebody that.
I know.
I mean, you could ask somebody. I think a question you could actually get away with is, are you mentally, slow?
Yeah.
Are you, which you normally can't ask in a job interview, but I could back that up with, you saw what happened to this guy. He can't be, you have the mental capacity of an 8-year-old.
Yeah. Or just give him an aptitude test. Just a simple logic.
Did you hear our Wonderlic test over under last week? I don't know what his Wonderlic was. I don't know if it came out. Did you see it? I was looking over.
Oh, I didn't see it.
I put it at 22, and O was like, it's going to be way over. I'm like,
yeah, it is way over. It's got to be way over.
Well, he says, you
think. Well, no, I take that back.
Vince Young got like an 8.
Yeah. I take that back because there's book smarts and then there's street smarts, like just simple logic stuff. I have neither of which, so I have no idea how I got into Hopkins or graduated, but.
No, he's dumb as rocks, dude. And these are questions I took the Wonderlic. O got it from somebody, and we took it together. And O got a 38 because O's super smart. I got like a 33.
I think I'm in the 30 range.
But that's 30's pretty good, you know what I mean? But what happens is the first 15 questions are super easy. And then what happens is so it's timed, and there's a lot of those like, you know, you got three people on a boat on one side of the river, and whatever. So Manti Te'o's not answering those questions. Manti Te'o, we said it the day it broke, and I'll give you credit, man. When we did the show, the day the story broke, and we came in and we opened with it, we talked about 45 minutes about it. And the day it broke, Mel Kiper had him at number 8 on his draft board. And I said, oh, this guy's going to drop to the second day. You said he wasn't even going to get drafted. If you recall, that's the alcohol talking, but you said that he goes, I don't even think he's going to get drafted.
You don't think that, but considering his combine, the performance he had, you don't think his stock dropped?
I agree with that. I think he's going to draft to the second day. I think he's a late second, early third round pick. He'll probably get drafted a little earlier because a team like the Jets will be like, I'm going to mold him. But there's no doubt that it dropped. I mean, Mel Kiper, who is the I don't like the guy. He's
I can dedicate a whole show to Mel Kiper and how it's ridiculous that this guy has a job, A,
yeah.
and that he's respected so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, because his draft thing changes every 3 days, and then you look at it and like, why?
It's a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke. But
he's on par with like the quote unquote fantasy football gurus that like Yahoo throws out there on a
yeah.
camera, that some fat guy who's just wiping Cheetos off his face, and is like, you gotta pick up like Randy Moss.
Yeah, right now. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm just saying that in the world of mock drafts, he is the end-all, be-all. It's Mel Kiper.
Who's the other guy, the young
Tom
gun?
McShay?
Tom McShay, yeah.
But
Tom McShay should just, like, punch him in the face.
Yeah,
time.
Be like, stop talking. But he had him number 8 that day, so he can't – so if he drops – if you know, if he went 10th, then you're like, okay, it didn't hurt his stock. We said the question was whether –
Buffalo's 8, aren't they?
Buffalo's 8. He was predicted to go to 8. He ain't going to Buffalo 8. There's no way Buffalo's taking him 8. And just got 9. So
oh
please, Lord. I almost fell, literally just fell off the bar. Please, Lord, do not take Manti Te'o. But yeah,
they're definitely taking
well,
him now.
What I'm saying, I think now, I mean, I said after you look at his performance in the National Championship game, which was atrocious.
It was bad, yeah.
And then you start looking like, oh, maybe this guy, you know, was just a lamb slayer, did really well against bad teams. Plus, he's had a great defensive line in front of him.
They're talking about him being like a scheme guy.
Yeah.
Like where he just fits into a certain kind of scheme. That's horrible.
The thing is, he also ran the 40 15 pounds lighter than he played. So he played at 255. He came into the combine at 241 and ran a
4.82.
So 241 small for an inside linebacker. And then you got a guy, if you're small and you run a 4.82 and your question, you have leadership questions and intelligence questions of what just went down. I mean,
I'll say this. You got to keep an eye on Nile Davis. That dude is super fast and super strong, and he's going to make an impact on some team next season. Bold prediction.
There
number
you go.
11.
There's my man. Number
Nile
11.
Davis.
All right. Tony D, you got some say what?
I got
to tell you right now, we're going to go overtime here, but let me just – why don't you give us some say what here then?
So, real – I had a whole bunch of things opened up, but I'm – any of you guys following the Iron Sheik on Twitter?
Oh, of course I'm.
Dude, are you
– and it's verified. I was like, there's no way this is really the Iron Sheik.
Have you seen any of these?
Because everything ends with
dude.
Go F yourself.
So I'm looking –
or go F your dog. It's like crazy.
You know, the 76ers CEO, and I don't know if he's the owner or whatever the hell he is. He's on Twitter, so he's tweeting, apologizing how bad the you know, for how bad the team is. So Iron Sheik responds, the 76ers, the at 76ers CEO Adam, you insult all your fans, you can go F yourself, I will beat the F out of you.
if I see you,
or go F yourself. I mean, it's like,
he bashes Chris Brown all the time. It's so funny, like for no reason. There's nothing will be going on in the world of Chris Brown. It'll just be like,
just
and he goes to Chris Brown.
Look at his description on Twitter. Greatest Iranian of all time. Respect the legend. I love you. Otherwise, go F yourself.
He just put a tweet out that says, what the Avigian is to Mexico is the same as what dog shit is to the world.
I mean,
this is... She has to be. I mean, I didn't... I would
be verified, but...
It is verified, but I mean, he is...
By the way, I think it only costs like 25 large... to get verified.
Yeah, but you just some random dude wants to be like, it's Mark Cuban or something.
Like a certain amount of followers or something like that, too, I think. But it's, I mean, good night and go F yourself. Roy Hibbert, fight like he the Bad News Brown. God bless him.
That fight was pretty dope, though.
Yeah.
Although it got hyped up. It wasn't really a fight.
No.
The only thing that was good was he was just like, King Kong was swatting away.
When what's his name came up and hugged him?
And Curry came up. And Curry, I mean, they're like, he's a little gnat. He's 6'3", 185. He threw that dude like 40 feet. He was like in the third row. He's just like, get off me. And Roy Hibbert is known as a guy who's not intense.
Yeah.
Like, that's a knock on Roy Hibbert.
He definitely shoved
him. He's got a breaking point. David Lee. All
right. So
double machine.
David Lee.
So how about this? So I'm sure you guys have seen these LeBron warm-up. Dunks.
Oh my God!
I have not seen it.
So
it's ridiculous.
He is actually doing some ridiculous stuff in the warmups. Now, I mean, I can show you like a clip.
Yeah.
Like, watch this. I mean, this is just. So I mean, there's one off the backboard that he does.
Yeah, there's one where he throws it off.
Look
the
at
backboard.
His head is a
he's
way above
he
the rim.
He throws it through his legs one time, off. Let's see. I think they might show it right now. No, they're not gonna. So he runs up to about the foul line. He dips down, throws it one handed through his leg off the backboard, catches it and dunks it. I mean, so he's doing these things in the pregame. Obviously, you know, gets the crowd there earlier. It gets them all hyped up. But I almost feel like it's a slap in the face. Everybody says it's great for them, but I feel like it's a slap in the face. This guy, I don't know how long he's been doing this. Clearly, he hasn't been doing it for long because this would have been a story a while ago. But so this guy turns down the dunk contest, but then proceeds to basically throw it in everybody's face like this is what you would see.
Exactly.
If I was, I mean, I just think it all around, I think it is a
slap in the face. Yeah. We talk a lot about, and this is the dunk, the Neil Schoen. We got to post.
That's absurd, right?
We got to post. This has got to be on the Tri-Cities Sports Guys website. It's insane, dude. But it is a slap in the face, and it's the reason why they just need to get rid of the dunk contest altogether. And what I don't understand why these guys don't enter. I mean, how many guys have you ever heard ever get hurt other than Amari Stoudemire in the playoffs dunking, but that was like not in a dunk contest. Nobody's ever been hurt in dunk contests ever, right?
I
mean,
no,
it's not like
not that I have ever heard of. And I mean, this like, could you see LeBron if he entered a dunk contest? I will guarantee you, he could jump from a foot and a step and a half behind the free throw line and dunk the basketball.
Definitely.
If he was ever to do that in a dunk contest, it would be a wrap.
Yeah, what he should do, what he would do, when we talk about props, he should come out, take a piece of tape, and put it like, you know, a foot behind or whatever,
and just
and be like, and point at
and
it.
And then people will be like, you're better than Jordan.
And then point at point at the 23 on his back and be like, there's a new sheriff in town, my dude.
You can do it. I guarantee you can do it. Just do it and then end everything.
Wear full-on Michael Jordan Bulls regalia.
And just shave his head.
Do a dunk from foot beyond, and then just Hulk Hogan style tear the Jordan jersey off.
And it just says new era on the back.
It says, I'm
new sheriff.
Michael who?
So Doug Collins, you see him the other day after the game, goes off as he is still shot. He's talking to the press. He's itching his nose with his middle finger on purpose. So I'm going to read you a couple notable quotes he has here. So he says, there's nothing wrong with our preparation. I looked out there to start the game. So, three guys weren't even sweating when we started the game. They were going to ease themselves into the game. You've got to get sweaty. You've got to be ready to go. So one more. They say it's a players' league. Well, then take ownership. Take ownership. That's all I'm asking. Take ownership of what you're putting out there. To me, it's in a day's work for a day's. I'm a day's work for a day's pay kind of guy. That's all I've ever been taught. And he just. I mean, I could go on and on. He just rips.
Yeah. They were talking about it on the Bauer Show today, which is out of Hartford, ESPN Radio in Hartford. And they were like, after watching it, I expect him just to walk off like into the sunset.
Yeah.
I am not coaching this team anymore.
I watched a couple minutes of it like on SportsCenter. They were just going and going. I'm like, this is unreal.
It's just amazing because the Sixers were that team, you know, last year with like Evan Turner. Like, this team is like a gritty team. It seemed like they were super hustle.
Yeah.
And was it all because they lost Iguodala? I mean, this is the only real big loss they had. I mean, they got Bynum back, and he never hasn't played, obviously. But it's like, how did it go so down so quickly in Philly? Coop must be beside himself.
Are we talking about Alex Smith at all? Do we have anything?
We were going to put it in the 5-10, but that'll be overtime. But go ahead. You talk about it now.
How about this? So he gets traded, obviously, today from the 49ers to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And they give up two. What did he say? They give up.
They got a second-round pick and a conditional mid-round pick.
It seems like way too much for me, no?
Browns pick? Nah, see, the thing is, so they got the number one pick in the draft, Kansas City.
Yep.
They got no quarterback, and they're going to give a conditional mid-round pick. The conditional mid-round pick I could see kind of being a difference, and I don't know what that means, whether it's a third, fourth, fifth. It's a big difference between a third and a fifth-round pick, so I don't know what that is. I don't think that's too much when you're looking at the Chiefs and what they got to get done. They got the first pick. It looks like they're going to be taking a left tackle with that pick. They're going to put a quarterback in who knows the West Coast offense. I mean, you know, you got to be happy about picking up Alex Smith here. I don't think it's too much. I think it's a good trade. I think it's a good trade for both teams. For them, for the Niners to get back that, because I was thinking to myself, they were in a bad spot because the league almost knew they were going to have to cut him.
Yeah.
So it's like, but they, from what I've heard is the Niners were almost surprised at the amount of offers they were getting. And so that's a good. It's a good deal for the Niners. I mean, now they have so many picks this year, which
15 draft picks. I mean, which obviously that'll be. I think they'll be moving somewhere.
Well, then that's what I'm going to bring it up to. I was going to talk about the 5-10. Might as well talk about it now. I mean, the impact of that on the New York Jets twofold.
Oh,
one is They got to be such a big suitor for the Darrelle Revis deal because they have so many picks. They could just offer the Jets so many picks. It's like, you know, they could offer this second-round pick that they got. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And which is a high second-round pick. It's a 34th pick overall. It's almost like a first-round pick. You know what I mean? And then, which is awesome. And then, as an aside, which nobody's talked about, they're going to have to cut Matt Cassel. So that's a guy, like we talked about the list of guys that the Jets could possibly add
yep.
to compete. And we talked about Matt Moore, Kyle Orton. Now Matt Cassel becomes a guy you might be able to get, and he's going to obviously be a nice backup for a lot of teams. But now the Jets can go out and get Matt Cassel to compete. Matt Cassel could start, and he's had success in the NFL and bridge that gap to whenever they can get some sort of franchise quarterback. I mean, for the Jets, as a Jet fan, I looked at that trade, and I'm like, I thought it was good for both teams. I think it's great for the Jets because now, and apparently the hang up with the Darrelle Revis trade is, you know, whether they could sign him long term, and you know he wants a crazy deal, and they don't want to give that, you know, $100 million to Darrelle Revis, and but they also don't want to get him if it's only going to be a short term thing. That all being said, it's like, man, this has got to be great for the Jets. At minimum, they got to be in the market for Matt Cassel, no?
Yeah.
And I didn't hear one person talk about it, but you would think they have to be, right? I mean, yep. Neil, what do you think about the Jets going after Matt Cassel as a backup? If he's relatively affordable, $4 million, something like that.
I want the Jets to field an all-offensive unit of quarterbacks. 11 dudes who can throw the football.
Decently.
They can throw a spiral.
So, I don't know what site this is, Sports Pickle? But I'm Googling this. Is just
they probably got the same hit count as Tri-State Sports.
I'm Googling this to find out Manti Te'o's score on that test. And it says that he gets a zero. So I start reading. It says, Manti Te'o's draft stock took another hit today after he scored a zero on his Wonderlic test. The Notre Dame linebacker did not complete the exam because he ate it soon after it was handed to him. He says, is this bread? It looks like bread. Manti hungry. I eat this. And he balls it up and began eating it, so he got a zero. it's just so everybody knows.
Sounds about right.
And real quick, Neil, I know you're into this comedy thing. You ever been to the Comedy Cellar?
A million times.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
That's where the Louis C.K. show, you know, the intro?
Yeah.
So last night, real quick.
Best comedy club in New York, by far.
You been there before?
And they have crazy people there.
Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle just stumble in there that
night. Oh, yeah.
At midnight. And go on for like 2 hours to like 2:30 in the morning and just like blast.
They're calling it the Watch the Throne of comedy.
hopefully this is like a test and they're like feeling it out so they could go on a tour. Because this would be
This is the thing about the Comedy Cellar. So the Comedy Cellar, when you buy tickets to it, you buy tickets in advance not knowing what the line. They don't put the lineup out until like Tuesday of the week before. So you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so if you're gonna buy tickets in advance,
you don't know what
you don't know what's coming on. But like. So, and I've seen Louis C.K. I've seen Louis C.K. a bunch of times, my favorite comedian.
Yeah.
But one time we bought tickets. The only thing we knew was Jimmy Norton was going to be there. And I like Jimmy Norton from Mopey and Anthony and all. And he was going to be there. So we show up, we go there, and then the lineup's out there, and Louis C.K. is going to be there. All of a sudden, it showed up Louis C.K., Daryl Hammond from Saturday Night Live, who does all those impressions, Colin Quinn, the dude that plays Ashy Larry. From Dave Chappelle's show.
Colin Robbins?
Yeah, he was the MC. Usually it's Keith Robinson. Is it always the MC? You know,
yeah.
Keith Robinson who's funny.
Yeah.
He's always the MC. It was that dude and Louis C.K. And when you get there, you don't know where you're gonna sit. You know, it's like seating.
Yeah.
We sat right. The microphone was directly in between us.
No shit.
And Louis C.K. I could have reached out and touched Louis C.K. And that's how this place is. And it's small. It's by far the best place.
This is the actual like when you watch Louis C.K. This is you see him outside of this club.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The stairs. That's the stairs.
And these guys like there's that clique of guys like Patrice O'Neill. You saw always be there. It was like this clique of guys that was always there. Jim Norton, Bobby Kelly, Patrice O'Neill. Colin Quinn's one of them. Kevin Hart used to always be there. He got in with all them, and now he's like blown up. He doesn't go there, and when you walk in, like that's where Jerry Seinfeld like was big, like in the '80s.
Really?
Like, and it's crazy. And so you're looking at this picture. I'm sitting right there with Louis C.K. And it's a small place, a small venue.
I have to check this place out.
Comedy Cellar is the best place to see. I mean, I know Caroline's like the name everybody knows.
Yeah.
Comedy Cellar is not even close. Comedy Cellar is by far the best, Neil. I mean, you must have been there.
If I upload a video from there, I might have to, you know I might not be showing up next Wednesday.
Then pilots are flowing in, dude. But then Keith Robinson is like a funny comedian. He's the you know, he, like, is the host, which is, like, kind of like a weak role. Like, you don't want to, like, you know, host
the
show.
Well, the host is a tough role because you have to like, warm up the crowd and get them involved. And I've never been into that because I can't even see when I'm on stage. So for me to reach out to someone and be like, hey, you know, like, oh, you're married, you're divorced, with kids,
yeah.
Blah, blah. Like, yeah. I can't do that. That's why I'm going to fail.
Yeah, I had not heard that, but yeah, the Comedy Cellar by far. If you're gonna go like in the city with your girl or whatever, you've got to go to Comedy Cellar.
I gotta jump in here, Mike. We're down to 10 seconds of live action.
5 seconds live action.
Wow,
we're gonna get a little bonus
time.
We're extended,
and we're on the air extended.
See, that's why we need a producer.
Wow,
because
yeah,
when Tony's not here, we just give the thing.
I just figured
I tested to make sure, but I'm pretty sure.
We're not on the air right now. But if we are, you gotta check us out on TriStateSportsGuys.com, Facebook. Try to say sports guys.
A couple backslashes in there.
And I'm going to nail this time. The Twitter handle is at @TriState_sports.
Perfect.
I didn't even know what an underscore was before we had a Twitter.
I took typing like in high school to pick up chicks.
Characters in a name. I couldn't fit in regular name.
No, but everybody, I mean, mine is Michael_DePalma if you want to follow me too.
Mine is __.
And it spelled those out. And we are still alive.
Yeah.
So we're going strong here. But yeah, Comedy Cellar is definitely the place to be. You got any more say what?
Iron Sheik got me all flustered over here.
Well, everything that you've said has got me flustered. It's been a great say what. There's been a great say what after a great days. This is like the good old days.
How about this? You guys see this guy from Wisconsin? He takes his free throws now from like jump shots.
Oh, no.
So last year he shot 70% from the free throw line. This
year
he's at 35.
Oh.
So he decided that he don't know what the hell's going on, why he can't shoot from the free throw line anymore. So he changes it up, and he now takes jump shots from the free throw line. Do you think something like this could work? They were talking about it on PTI today. Wilbon said no, absolutely not. I mean,
I think it could. I always wonder that. You watch a guy like Brook Lopez. When he's open from the foul line in the middle of a game, he drains it. But he's probably a 70% foul, you know, free throw shooter.
I mean, I could see how it would.
I honestly, just from my perspective as a 6-foot white guy, I feel more comfortable with the jump shot than I do for the free throw.
I mean, look at my man. He just dribbles a couple times right here and just pulls up.
he's like fades away.
Awesome.
Kobe. He does. He's got a man in his face. He should have a guy.
Oh, man, that's all I got. Oh, Tebow backed out of his speaking engagement at the First Baptist Church in Dallas, to which the pastor, or whatever you would call the guy there, ripped him up a little bit in the news. But, yeah. Why he would even be...
Look at this guy.
Why he would even be
so meticulous about his image. There's no way he didn't know anything about this church beforehand. It's just because somebody eventually was like, well, stop. You cannot...
Yeah, you cannot go to this church and give a speech.
You want to play in the NFL, which you probably won't ever again in your life. But if you do have any hope of it...
God.
I mean, we're not going to get into a religion talk,
no,
Look, you could be all pro-religion all you want. I'm a Catholic. But look, you can't be in those kind of religion people. Those people that protest funerals and all that stuff...
Unbelievable.
The gays did not cause Katrina. I'm going to break that story. I don't know about the creation of this and that and Adam and Eve and all that. The gays did not cause Katrina. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. Can I say that emphatically?
Yeah. Can you?
Yes, I can.
Oh, you just did or what?
No, I mean, can I say that, like, you know, on the air here? I mean, we're live, so this is not the podcast. This is live. We're going out to millions.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, we got some more stuff to get to. We're going to go to our top 10, which I'm pretty excited about. We'll do some fantasy top 10 stuff. Top 10 fantasy players in the NL West. Neil, you want to start it out? You want to kick it off? Go ahead.
Do I have to go 10 to 1?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Oh, bye.
I mean, this isn't a hot one. I mean, have you ever done a top 10 list in your life? How long you been on this show, my dude?
You have to go 10 to 1. Now you go 6-5, 2-1.
You want me to go first and you can set up your act here?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna.
He's got tabs open on his spreadsheet.
He's got highlights. I don't know what the hell he's doing over there, but I'm gonna go through my top 10 fantasy wise. I'm gonna start off and
you gotta give me like half an hour.
Neil will probably not be giving a top 10. Maybe Owl will be listening to the show and we'll call him because I'm sure he's already got it broken down. He's a hell of a fantasy player. But I'm gonna start out in Arizona. We talked about him earlier. He is a hell of a commissioner, and we talked about that. I'll tell you, that rolled over after the show last week. I thought we were going to come to blows about this rollover.
Is there more news about this? Is there more story about this?
There isn't more news. So we were, last week, and I was talking to Coach Sean Ireland was in studio a couple weeks ago, and we kind of teased it a little bit. He was a commissioner of a league for 10 years. He's stepping down because he's sick of hearing people complain. Then we had O in, and O was part of the coup that overthrew the commission. And so the idea was, what do you think the role of a commissioner should be? And I was like, look, they got to just collect the money, be done with it, come up with some basic rules, and that's it. And then, if you don't like the rules, get out of the league. So we talked about it. O is emphatically defending his stance of, everything's got to go to a vote and blah, blah, blah. They've come out this week. Moose is back. He is not stepping down as commissioner.
Good for him.
And it was partly because of Tony D.
That's for you.
Tony D called out his manhood. That was weak. That was weak.
You can't. You've been running the league for 10 years, bro.
Years, dude.
You
think
don't
about,
step down for something. How long has open in the league? Four? Five?
4 years, and this guy's going to come in.
Some hot shot off the street.
Some hot shot Jersey kid from Wall Street coming in. So he came back. But let's get into it. So we talked about this guy earlier. We got some texts about it. They were all about this guy. I got Paul Goldschmidt as my number 10. I mean, he came out his first full season, 286, 20 home runs, 82 RBI. In a hitter's ballpark, the ball flies out of that place. I think Paul Goldschmidt comes out and gives you 280, 30, 110, which is a slam dunk fantasy-wise. So I really like
Paul. We're getting texts about him, so he's got to be good.
Paul Goldschmidt is a guy, though, that's not like flying under the radar. People are all about him on the the fantasy. Like we talked about, whatever you want to put in validity, and I don't put a lot of it in, a lot of stock in these guys that do their mock drafts and all that stuff. I'll tell you, I think Paul Goldschmidt's going to be a good big-time player. Number 9, I had Kung Fu Panda. Now, this guy, I know his power numbers aren't great consistently. I know he had the 3-home-run game in the World Series and all that. But he plays at a position that is top-heavy but gets weak early at third base.
What does that mean?
That means if you don't get a David Wright, you don't get a Miguel Cabrera, Adrian Beltre, it all of a sudden goes down quick and you're stuck with Kevin Youkilis. Or
like a running back situation.
Yeah, so like you got to nail in one of the solid third basemen, and I think Kung Fu Panda is that guy. I mean, he can bat you 300. He'll give you 18, the mid 20s in home runs. Get you 90, 100 RBIs, and in a position like that, you got to lock one of those guys up. If you can't get yourself the guys I just named, then you got to go out. Evan Longoria, one of those guys. You got to go out and get Kung Fu Panda, because after Kung Fu Panda, and he's probably. I put six, maybe a fifth or sixth best third baseman out there, in the Aramis Ramirez range. After that, it gets bad quick. You're stuck with Pedro Alvarez, who hit 30 home runs and 205 strikeouts or whatever. So that's where I got Kung Fu Panda. This guy, I got number 8. You might think this is low, but we talked about him earlier. This is where I have Adrian Gonzalez. I mean, this is a guy who was a legitimate top 5 fantasy player 2-3 years ago. I think he's down pretty significantly in that ballpark. He had a down year last year. I think we talked about how we think that team's going to spiral downward. I think that this guy,
he's going to put up average numbers.
No, he's going to put up good numbers. But there's a lot of first base people out there.
Yeah, you expect a lot more out of him.
Yeah, he's not a Joey Votto guy.
Average for him.
Oh, boy.
The Irish Sheik, sorry. Chris Arriana, same as Dog, Ish, and Pitt. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
Update
on the Iron Sheik.
Just wrapping it up. We're just going to break in with the Iron Sheik text, tweets, whenever you want. Number 7, I got Matt Cain. This might be also a little bit low. Matt Cain is a stud. He gives you a lot of strikeouts, goes deep into games, will give you some wins. I just don't think
Can I say something about pitchers and fantasy?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
You don't get how they work. I mean, it depends on the scoring structure. That's the thing about rankings, because if you go 5x5 Roto, which is like the standard league, you're going to get wins out of a starter. You're going to get strikeouts. You're going to get ERA and whiff. I think Matt Cain hits 4 out of the 5 of those. What don't you get about starters?
I just don't get it. Like, why not just stockpile? Like, are you really – like, where are you drafting your first pitcher in all seriousness?
Well, I'm in two leagues with keeper, so it's a little bit weird. But I think a good pitcher could legitimately go second round. I mean, I'm not a big guy. If I'm going to use a first round in like a 12-team league, I don't want to go out and
Are pitchers winning you games? Are pitchers
100%. Winning you weeks? 100%. The problem with pitchers in a head-to-head league is you might get one start, you might get two starts. So I have a guy like I'm keeping Justin Verlander, and there are people that won't keep any pitchers. But if you get Justin Verlander, and the bottom line is during the regular season it's tough, but you get into the playoffs of a fantasy season in a head-to-head league, and you have a guy like Verlander who can go out, and that game he gives you a huge game, it could win you a week. You know, if he gives out, and the other league, the one that Sean Ireland runs, it's a cumulative point league, which I like a lot better. But you get 10 points for a win, and point for every strikeout. -2 for every earned run and those type of thing. -1 for every walk, and so
that's a BS statistic, by the way.
What?
-2 for earned run. Do you understand how many runs shouldn't be earned? It's coming from a pitcher. Right?
I know it's coming. You can tell it's coming from a pitcher. You don't have to say that you pitch after you're making that comment. I get that. I'm just saying this is the real world of fantasy.
This is
sports.
The real world
of fantasy sports.
Yeah, fantasy sports.
So I that's where I have Matt Cain. I can't wait to hear your top. You don't even have a top 10 yet.
I'm working on it.
Number 6, I got Hanley. Another guy who was a top 3 fantasy guy a few years ago. How great he was, but
he doesn't care anymore.
But you know what? He's got shortstop eligibility, third base eligibility in most leagues, and he's still going to put up good numbers. When you look at the position eligibility that he has, and he's probably going to play third. I mean, probably play shortstop a lot, so he's going to keep that. This is a guy who's going to put up numbers. I don't care what you say. I mean, the guy's going to give you, in a bad season, 25 home runs, 20 stolen bases, bat in the upper twos, whatever it is, and in the middle of that lineup, which does have some talent. Hanley, although he's fallen from grace some, and I'm not a guy that's going to go out and reach for him really early, but I'm sure people will. I got him at number 6. Number 5, I got another shortstop, Troy Tulowitzki. We talked about him staying healthy, being productive, but when that guy is...
Do you get points for creepiness?
Creepiness probably popped him right out of your top 10. No Troy Tulo in your league. But Troy Tulowitzki, in that ballpark, if he's healthy, Cargo's healthy, Fowler can get on base if he's at the top of the lineup, Kadir towards the, rounding out the middle of the lineup. He could put up big numbers at a position that you need, there you don't see a lot of pop in. You got to have Troy Tulo in there. 4 is where I have Cargo, 5 tool guy, potential 30-30 guy, high average every year, again, if he stays healthy. But, it's not that he's unhealthy. He just seems to get hurt, like making plays in the outfield, that type of deal. He's not a guy who's, got chronic knee problems or something like that. So he's a guy I reach for number 4. This is gonna, if you don't like pitchers, then you're going to hate that I have this pitcher this high. Number 3, I got Clayton Kershaw. If you want to talk about pitchers, I go Verlander, Kershaw, Strasburg as my top 3 and in some sort of order there. And I just think Kershaw, if you look at every fantasy stat, whatever kind of scoring format you have, his whiff is low, his ERA is low, his strikeouts are high, he's going to get wins. Whatever scoring format you have, Clayton Kershaw is going to fill up the box score, so I love him there. 2, I have him this high because of his position, but Buster Posey, you don't see a lot of catchers that bat you 300-plus, get you 100 RBIs, mid-20s in home runs. And, he went on that tear in the second half. It was just fantastic. You could say I'm maybe high on that, but that's where I got him. And then I got Matt Kemp, number 1. I know you said you were worried about him, health-wise, but 5-tool guys in fantasy, it's a lost art, those guys that could steal bases. He's not going to be a 40-40 guy like, everybody thought he was going to be 50-50 possibly. But he can steal bases, score runs, hit home runs, bat for average. He does everything in fantasy. So I got Matt Kemp, number 1. Neil, what do you got?
You hate everything I said? I mean, not everything, but I'm not I'm not going to buy it if you're selling it. mine's going to suck, but whatever. I'll just roll with it. Number 10, Ian Kennedy. Great last name. We can all agree on that. The Kennedys are successful. They die young, and I feel like if he's going to die young, he's going to throw lights out. That's how it works. Number 9, Clayton Kershaw. I agree with Mike D on a lot of points. The guy is just amazing. And you look at a lot of people have Zach Greinke ranked high. The guy is going to have literally going to break down on the mound. Might cut himself and might bleed out. And that's hard to do in LA because it's such nice weather. I don't understand how you can do that and be suicidal. in L.A. on a pitcher's mound where everyone just doesn't care. And I think that's why he'll do it, because, like, no one cares. Number eight, I have Cameron Maben.
Cameron Maben up
there? Yeah, number eight.
Gotcha.
All right, just
yeah. This is the year.
This is the year. What I say, every fantasy draft, and it's got Cameron Maben as their guy.
Number seven, I have Michael Cuttier.
Got some good eligibility. First base, outfield.
Yeah, I mean, those are the kind of guys that I always drafted, and that's why I always lost. But I still, to this day, even though I don't play, I feel good about that pick. I feel good about a pick where I can move around. In a daily league, dual position, that is huge.
Huge.
Number six, I have Aaron Hill. I mean, you made all the points about him.
I had him as my number 11. He was so close to make my. I had him originally when I did my list. I had him number 9, and his problem is he's one good year, one bad year, one good year, one bad year, one good year. That seems to be his pattern in his career. But he has the ability at a weak position to put up. I mean, you're not gonna get a lot of second base and can put up 30 home runs.
Number five, I have Goldschmidt.
I mean, we should rename our show
Paul Goldschmidt. The Paul Goldschmidt Show.
Yeah.
And number four, Chase. You know, I like O on this one. I like Chase Headley. I think that he can, you know, in a league where third basemen, like you said, are at a premium, right?
Yeah.
That there's a cliff, if you will. I think Chase Headley's the diamond in the rough. I think he's a guy that, you know, when the Wrights and the Sandovals are gone, he's a guy that'll give you, like, consistent output.
Yeah.
Number three, I got Buster.
This is where you got Buster Bus?
Yeah, Buster Bus. I just think that he's just coming into his own.
Guy's a stud.
Number two, I got Cargo.
Yep.
Some about that weather and that air that just makes me think that he's going to...
Free tacos when he hits home runs or whatever it is. Yeah. Remember that commercial? Yeah.
And number one, I actually don't have a number one.
So you don't even want to talk about Matt?
I don't even want to talk about it. I guess, Matt Kemp.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I like a lot about you. Listen, I told you Aaron Hill was on the bubble. The other guy that I had close, and we talked about him earlier, Martin Prado. Yahoo has him... eligible at shortstop, third base, and outfield.
Yeah.
And he's in.
Yeah, I love that. I love more positions, the better.
I'm telling you, that's a guy you're going to be getting in the middle of the rounds. And every year, the guy bats 300. You know, he had 10 home runs last year. He goes to that park. He can give you 15 home runs, you know, give you, you know, 80 runs scored, 80 RBI, like fill up a box score. I love Martin Prado, and I'm going to try to get him. I'm in two leagues. I'm trying to get him in both leagues. I just, depending on if anybody reaches for him really early, but I love him. But, yeah, Aaron Hill's another guy. Man, we're pretty consistent, although, you know, Ian Kennedy, you talk about not liking pitchers, and then you put Ian Kennedy at number 10. I like Ian Kennedy. He had a huge season 2 years ago. He won 20 games. Came back to earth a little last year at an ERA plus of over 4, but another guy, you know, kind of a, if you're in your back end of your fantasy rotation guy, eat up innings and give you, you know, quality starts if that's a stat in your league, which is good. But there's a lot of good players in the
NFL. I think I'm going to pull it like a Minnesota Vikings in the NFL and just pass on my draft pick for the number one first round, you know?
I like it.
That's intimidation right there. It's like,
is.
Whoa, this guy does not even care about his first round
pick. I don't care about Matt Kemp. You want Matt Kemp? Take him.
You can see, though, like my reasoning. I don't like... any of the Dodgers. I don't like Agon. I don't like Hanley. I don't like
Agon. Didn't even make your top 10. And Tulo didn't make your top 10.
No, screw that guy, dude. He's definitely he's gonna break something awful this year.
Like that nobody's really, ever broken before.
Yeah, like a bone we didn't even know existed.
Somehow he was feeling a grab ball, broke his jaw, broke his tailbone. Yeah, I'll tell you what. If Tulowitzki and Agon have really bad years, you're gonna look like a genius. And then I want everyone to pay respect.
Yeah.
I want that to happen.
And then everyone's going to do first-round buys from now on.
Yeah. Everybody. The whole first round will just be like an honor. It'll be the Neil Lynch round, and everybody just, an honor just doesn't pick a pick.
No right. Silence.
Quickly, we'll do our 5 and 10 basically have all been covered. We were going to talk about the NFL Combine, we touched on that. We talked about the Alex Smith thing. The only thing we could really talk about, and we'll just do it briefly, is the NBA trade deadline. We talked last week about deals that could go down. All these names that were out there, the Paul Millsaps, Josh Smith, even Dwight Howard, and some other guys, that were going to be moved, Eric Bledsoe, and none of them got moved. And there were some moves that were made. You know, J.J. Redick got moved, which is a weird landing spot for him to go to Milwaukee because they got, you know, scoring guards there. But, you know, the only thing I could say is it's amazing that the New York Knicks signed a 35-year-old forward and got younger in their front court. It's amazing. I mean, they signed Kenyon Martin, and they're like, well, we just get younger. And Rasheed Wallace today came down.
I like the way
down.
You said that.
Rasheed Wallace.
Kenyon?
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
How do you say it?
Kenyon. He's Kenyon, right? Oh, man.
It could be Kenyon. Kenyon? I don't know. He was a net for years and years.
I like yours better. I like Kenyon. Kenyon?
People always talk about it. I put the wrong emphasis on different things. I think it's
the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Kenyon Martin.
How do you say Rajon Rondo?
Rajon Rondo.
Rajon.
Rondo.
Rondo.
I don't know. Maybe I'm saying it wrong. But look, Kenyon Martin's going to have no impact on the New York Knicks this year.
And they have signed a 10-day contract. The game plan is that they're just going to like rotate old feisty dudes for like 6 weeks at a time. Or like 3 weeks at a time.
Well, Rasheed now has some sort of fracture. He's having surgery. Rasheed Wallace is out another 8 weeks.
Out. Yeah, he's out.
So he had some sort of surgery.
How about this? You see this? Breaking news. The Mets are sponsored by Amway.
Yeah, that broke yesterday.
Oh, really?
And now I got to ask you about
this. Ponzi scheme to pyramid scheme.
Well, now, and that's why everybody's all over it. Yesterday, everybody was all Mets fans were all over this Amway thing. I just don't understand the big deal about it. To be honest, maybe I'm not trying to sound like a Met homer, and I'd love to bash the Mets and the Wilpons especially, but
dude, that's ridiculous. Come on.
What's so bad about it?
It's a door-to-door friggin'
so what? They're not sponsored by it. They sold space.
Mets ownership hears the word scheme and they just get so excited.
What's the big deal? They sold space in the stadium so that you can go and get
Amway. They
watched
way too many 80s movies. They're like, "Oh, here's a good."
If you're a Mets fan, don't you just want the Mets to get money so they can spend money? If this company wants
by any means possible.
It's not like they can lose money. They're renting space. It's not Madoff. They're renting space to a company. And
I can't believe Amway still exists.
I can't believe it either. And that they have money to rent space at Citi Field. I can't believe it either. But you know what? They had that $50 million class action suit against them. Clearly, the government doesn't think they're illegal. They would have shut them down altogether. Whatever they're doing is sketchy, but enough people are buying
it. The government thinks it's too funny to shut down.
You know, one of the owners of the Orlando Magic is like the owner of Amway, too. So it's not like he's not involved in sports. Nobody's killing the Orlando Magic for it.
I mean, that's like on par with yoga mats for dudes. We're kidding. We're kidding.
Broga match. Listen,
go YogaJack.com.
You're going to get Saul to call back in.
Saul from Lynn's going to call back all salty.
That's it. The only thing I got to say, just to go back to basketball quick. So I've been a huge basher of Deron Williams. You know that.
Yeah.
I dislike Deron Williams. And then last night I'm watching it. My father is up from Florida. We're watching the game. We watched the whole Nets game yesterday. Typical Nets game. Playing a team they should definitely beat. And they get up to a big lead. They're up 22 points at one point. They blow the lead. They're only up 2 points in the fourth quarter. They pull it out, and it was on the back of Deron Williams. And you know, I'm getting texts from people saying, oh, you're always bashing Deron Williams. See, look, if Deron Williams wants to prove me wrong, if he's a big Tri-State Sports Guys listener and he wants to prove me wrong, he had scored 11 points in the last 2 minutes of the game or whatever last night, God bless him. I'll be the first one to admit I was wrong. If Deron Williams could play like he played last night against a terrible team, go ahead and out there and play. They are the definition of landslayers. They always win those games. They blow the lead. You know, he got his hand stepped on and he was out of the game. Then he came back and he was bad, but he closed out the game. I give him all the credit in the world. Deron Williams won them that game down the stretch, without a doubt. Pulled up for three with a lot of time on the clock. We were just thinking, let's run the clock out here and just milk it. He takes a three with like 20 seconds left on the clock and drains it and basically ends the game and then ices it with some foul shots. Look, Deron Williams wants to prove me wrong. God bless him. I would love to come on here and say I was so wrong about Deron Williams, but I'm not going to go out there and say because of his performance last night against a terrible team that now he's back. It's Deron Williams because he beat up on New Orleans.
I mean, there's a quote from him that says
F Mike DePalma and the Tri-State Sports
Michael
guys.
DePalma,
but I like Yoga Jack.
It says, it felt good to get going, especially down the stretch, and be able to close out a game. That's something I've kind of struggled with this year. So at least he acknowledges that he's not a closer. I mean, but you got to at some point say...
He had a turnover, and anybody, I'm sure not a lot of people were watching the Hornets-Nets game last night, but I watched it, I told you, start to
finish.
He
got it on TV.
He had a turnover last night where it was during that run the Hornets went on where they were coming back in this game, and he brought the ball up, and he crossed midcourt, and his teammates were, like, walking off the court because he was supposed to cross midcourt and call a timeout, and he just didn't. And the ball got stolen away. And they called a clear foul, and then he fouled the guy, and they initially called a clear lane to the basket or whatever, and they overturned it. But that would have been a back-breaking turnover. It's like he just brought the ball up, and then everybody on his team just walked up the court, and he just was like, "Nah, I could probably do this." It was atrocious, and he does those moves all the time. Granted, he came back in the last 2 minutes and closed the game out. God bless him. I hope he does that. But I've seen so few instances where he does that I'm not a believer in Darryl Williams.
Yeah, so what's the answer then?
Oh, there is no answer. They're locked into him. The answer is they are a 4-5 seed.
So there's no shuffling you can do. There are no moves or transactions that you can make coming down this home stretch for them to be serious contenders heading into the postseason.
No. No, there's no way they could be serious contenders. It was weird how they used, they had that couple-game losing streak there, and Brook Lopez was, like, non-existent. He was really bad. You could tell he's the leader of that team. When he was bad, they were really bad. And he had a good game last night, 20 points against his twin brother. Robin plays for the Hornets. But, there's not that much they could do, and there's not much they could do in the future. We talked about it last week a little bit. The way that the cap works in the NBA, I mean, for them to try to move any of their players, you have to get back the same amount in salary. I mean, they're locked into Wallace, they're locked into Johnson, who I like, and they're locked into Darren Williams, and they're locked into Brook Lopez.
Wallace has been kind of a bust, right?
Yeah, and that was a move that I was against at the beginning, and then I'm like, oh, he could be all right. But, yeah, he's not a really – he's a high-energy guy where he plays really good defense. And he's a guy you want on your team, but they re-sign him for 4 years, $40 million or something like that. So, I mean, they locked him in, and nobody's going to want that contract. And the guy's averaging, I think, under 10 points a game. I mean, he's like, a 10-6 guy.
What does it take to be the 12th guy on an NBA team?
I don't know, but I will tell you this. The salary cap in the NBA is somewhere around $60 million. And you could do the math. There's 12 guys on a team.
Yeah.
So you're looking at the average guy makes $5 million in the NBA. Yeah, that's what you want to be.
So
you want to be the guy that doesn't come off the bench.
Yeah,
you want to be Kenyon Martin.
As long as you got a good celebration dance at some point, you
or
can
some sort
earn
of pre-game.
A cool mill. You can earn a cool mill.
Yeah, of course you can. Tim Thomas is making several million dollars this year, I'm sure. And when's the last time you're like, did you see Tim Thomas's game last night?
But do you, I mean,
four
like,
to 10 years ago.
So there are two teams in my mind. There are two teams in my mind that kind of maybe pulled the trigger too soon. The Nets and the Lakers, right? The Lakers firing Mike Brown. The Nets firing
Avery Johnson.
Avery Johnson.
I agree.
They bring in two guys that are kind of like.
Well, the thing is,
really?
And Avery Johnson said that they got fired. He goes, I'm surprised they did it now because he knew they had two really winnable games and they had a really winnable schedule coming up. So remember right after the trade, they went on this run.
They both did.
And you're like, look at the teams they were beating. And that's the MO of the Nets. And what's amazing is, and we debated it last year on the show with O, it might have been even 2 years ago, about the impact of coaches have on different sports. And I said, NFL is clearly, the head coach of an NFL team is clearly the most important. And I had NBA number two. I had baseball number four, and Noah was like, no, baseball's number two.
Baseball's four, yeah.
Yeah, baseball is nothing. Everybody knows when to pull the double switch.
Yeah.
Everybody knows,
yeah.
It's all about managing bullpens. That's all they do. And he was so anti. He goes, no, what does a basketball coach do? But you look at the issues that the Nets had, and it's been consistent. They get up in leads in the first half.
They have one horrific quarter.
And it's typically the third quarter. Last night it was the third quarter.
Yeah.
And so then you say, Nets got to be the coach because the coach gets out-schemed at halftime. Carlissimo, nothing has changed under Carlissimo. Under Carlissimo, they had a 4-point third quarter. So it's like, which is the lowest like in team history, maybe the NBA. I can't imagine it's less than four.
Yeah.
They must have tied a record in the NBA. Nobody had 3 points in a quarter. So it's like, nothing changed. So maybe I was wrong. I don't know. I just think that you look at some of these coaches like Popovich or Sloan when he was in Utah or some of these guys, Thibodeau, and you say, these guys get it. And they implement a team strategy on offense. And what do I know about basketball? I can't even dunk. Warren Sapp could dunk, and I can't even dunk. Well, that's the end of our show here. That's the Tri-State Sports Guys. You can check us out every week. We upload new stuff every day, www.tristatesportsguys.com. You can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/tristatesportsguys. Twitter handle, @tristate_sports. You could.
Coop said stop hanging on D-Well.
Oh. Look, Coop, that guy stinks. You want him? You want him on he'll be infinitely better than anybody on Philly, but that's a whole different ball game. You can have him. He'll be that lackadaisical.
And I just got to say, the San Antonio Spurs, there needs to be a bus crash or something. I don't want to see them in the playoffs.
Oh, come on.
No.
Grow up.
No.
Just got to worry about three letters. OKC when the playoffs come around.
OKC, yeah. Baby.
I got Lob City. I got Lob City versus OKC in the finals.
Hey. Don't sleep. That Western Conference is going to be exciting, man. Yeah. I'm telling you. People sleep on – I've been talking about the Grizzlies for a while. People sleep on the Nuggets. Nuggets are a good team, man. People sleep on Golden State. The Western Conference is going to be exciting. The Eastern Conference is going to be clinic jokers. All right, well, check us out. Next week, we'll be back. We'll have some other yoga mat company on. What did I say, sports guys?